Hey everybody, this is Davin of Davinthen, and this is our very first attempt at a full-length best of. There's a hurricane coming, so we needed to prepare. We're going to put on here some of our favorite bits and pieces and some of our favorite interviews. The first thing you guys are going to hear is the very first time that Anthony Cumia was on Davinthen. This took place right after Anthony Weiner, the whole Anthony Weiner scandal. Well, Anthony Cumia revealed the naked penis of Anthony Weiner for everybody to see. It was quite the newsworthy event back in the day, and Anthony actually gave us one of the first interviews he did, and this was because of his friendship with Joe Curry. Eventually, this interview with Anthony would lead to me having a meeting with Anthony, and eventually us working with Anthony at the compound. But it was a great time having Anthony. The thing was, it was on terrestrial radio, so you got to see us dance around and not use the language that we currently use. Now we're filthy animals. I think one time on the show, Anthony did slip up, but this is the raw feed. So you will actually hear, I think, the one expletive that Anthony let fly. But this was the first time. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Our call is in.
I guess I'm done.
In! Foot!
My pal!
Hello, hey, Anthony. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's my buddy Davin.
Thank you.
And we got Joe Anthony.
By the way, who's your producer? I love that. The guys will be with you in a moment.
Listen, you got to go.
It's Orville Redenbacher.
And you got to go easy on them. They work them all day. It's not like your station where they got, 50 damn producers. We got one guy, and he's been here since 1967.
He's got the greatest, radio voice. So, guys will be with you in a moment. And
you want to know a secret?
I felt like I was on an aircraft.
You want to know a little secret, Ant? He's probably got the best radio voice out of anybody at this damn station.
Him and Ted Williams are going on tour.
What did you say?
What's he answering phones for?
Listen, that's just the way things work around here. We have the best voice working
radio.
The phones. That's the way it is. You know how it is
radio,
when you start it.
Where the best talent is hidden off the mic.
Station's getting our balls busted by a guy who used to do air conditioning for a living and now made it big time.
I was the funniest guy in the attic.
You most certainly were, my friend.
Listen, Anthony, if I thought that when air conditioning and laying fence would get me to your station, I would do it, all right?
Oh, believe me.
I was the fence guy.
Yeah, he was a fence guy. I came home earlier, and it's blazing hot in New York today, and I had to take my little nap, my little after-work nap, because God forbid I work 4 hours and don't sleep. And I woke up, it was 87 degrees in the room because I something was wrong with the air conditioner, and instead of calling the attic, I'm like, call the guy. Me.
Those days are behind you.
I will never crawl in an attic. I'm like Quint, I'll never go in an attic again.
How about the time when you were on AAF, but you weren't national yet, and you come back to New York, and the guy comes up, he goes, I can't believe it's you. I can't. Oh, this is so great. Could you put it like a system in my attic?
Yeah. He goes, I remember you. You came over and put it in my system.
Meanwhile, you're the
Oh, great. I was feeling all good about myself for a second.
Number one show in life.
One second of feeling good about yourself and then just...
If I may give you a little bit of advice, as a Jew, I would suggest you always have air conditioning in the attic because you never know when crap's going to go down and you need to hide out there.
Well, that is true. Yeah. When it all goes down.
When he said,
people call me paranoid, but it's all going down someday.
Passport ready to go, nice attic. Well, I'm going to hang out like Tiki Barber.
When Davin said, as a Jew, I'm going to give you advice, I said, this can go in any number of directions.
You thought it was going to be legal advice.
Legal advice, accounting advice.
How are your debits and credits, Anthony?
Yeah, I really got to look. I was looking at all my bills are on my table. And one thing, when you pay your bills late, which I always do, you feel good because when the new bills come in that say late notice, you're just like, I paid that.
Yeah,
I do it all the time.
But
it makes me feel good.
You remember
I should just pay him on time.
Nah.
Remember the old days, the nickname we had for bills, beer coasters?
Oh, gee. Yeah, bills were beer coasters. And when me and Joe, we used to hang out at a place called the Apartment, which was Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yep.
I used to squat there. I can't even say I rented it because I don't remember ever paying rent. When the landlord would come around, he'd knock on the door, and we'd literally hide like children.
We'd be hiding
behind the windows until he left. And you'd hear him yelling, like, I know you're in there. Pay the rent. And then we're calling him, like, horrible names and racial epithets and everything else.
No, no, not you guys.
That's us guys.
And meanwhile, like, after you grow up a little bit, you start thinking, geez, the guy just wanted his rent.
Yeah, but we needed beer money, so he's out of luck.
Should have been like my father, the gambler. We used to just move in the middle of the night.
I was loading
trucks at 7.
What are you, the Cleveland Browns?
The fact that Joe said we needed beer money, that's what helps me sleep at night, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, let's fast forward to now where you're very successful and have a hot tub, and Joe's sweating it out in a studio up here in Warwick, New York with me.
Yeah, not so much.
Well, Joe, that's true, but you know, that's how it works.
I think basically what we're saying is Joe needs beer money.
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's how it works, though. You know something? You pop on a radio show, you make some ha-has, and before you know it, you got a model eating yogurt over there in the kitchen,
yeah.
And you were just swimming in the pool.
Really? Really?
Yeah,
really? I don't think so. I think that's just you.
No, I would take your late bills if I had your money.
Yeah, we're willing to pay your bills on time if we can have your life.
Why not just pay them 6 months out and go, leave me alone?
Every time I go to his house, I just hear Robin Lee his voice. Go, welcome to Anthony's. Drink all the beer you want.
Oh. Yes, this piece of Long Island white trash is made good.
Oh, let me tell you, I thank you so much. I found that family-sized Jack Daniels 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. That was a good party.
Family-sized
Jack
Daniels?
Yeah, that was a good party, man.
What a good party.
I love the parties where when Joe shows up to a party and goes, I don't have to be nowhere tomorrow. I'm like, thank God, because I hate when it's always like, that goody two-shoes, I got to leave.
Well, it's not like I'm going home to read the Bible. I got to do gigs and stuff like that.
I don't believe he drinks.
I don't believe Joe has gigs.
Nah, I mean, everybody here knows I'm hardcore, and I've never seen him have a drink.
Anthony?
Well, he's professional.
Yeah, you know what? He comes off, if he has any responsibility the next day, he really will drink and either not drink at all or very moderate, and like, that's not me. I'm like, oh, what? Oh, yeah, I got a TV thing tomorrow. That's I think I was drinking before Red Eye. I did Fox's Red Eye the other night.
Uh-huh.
I had about 5 beers before I even went on. You know, Papa Xanax.
What was the first thing I asked when I came in here?
If there was alcohol.
Was there alcohol? I took my anxiety pills. Now I got to cap off.
In defense of all three of us, there's a difference between you and the rest of us, and I can put it in two words. Guaranteed contract.
Right. I'll tell you, what you were just saying, though, booze is like Miracle Grow for Xanax.
You ain't kidding, brother.
It makes it work better.
Don't you just love people?
I love drinking. It doesn't solve your problems. It makes them funny.
And that's all you need. That's all you need, my friend.
That's true.
So Anthony, you've made a little bit of news, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, something happened.
You hadn't made this type of news since somebody was having sex in a church, but, you know, it had been a couple of years. You see an Anthony Weiner scandal. You say, you know what, not everybody's seen his naked penis. What can we do about this? And away you go.
When this whole thing started, and I was watching it on TV, and obviously, like everybody else, I'm just laughing my ass off, thinking another politician that tripped over his own junk on his way to a better office. I just couldn't grasp the fact that we'd be the ones that finally broke the big picture.
Yeah, you're like the CNN of satellite radio.
Yes. It happened that fast, and I had met Andrew Breitbart after I taped Red Eye on Fox. Mm-hmm. We all go out drinking usually afterwards. And Greg Gutfeld, who is the host of that show, he had Andrew with him. And we were hanging out, drinking, had a great time. I honestly do like Andrew. He's a funny guy. He's a regular guy. His political ideology very much like mine.
I've heard the show. I'm aware.
And mine.
Yeah, yeah. If you ask Joe, I lean slightly right. I do have some left leaning ideology as far as some social crap goes, but financially and like ideologically, I'm pretty far right. So me and Andrew got along just great. He was showing the picture on his phone of a wiener. That's, you know, the only way you could put it.
There's other ways to put it, but pretty much.
Yeah, that's the way to put it. It hadn't been released yet.
You make it sound like it's a Kraken that they're trying to release.
His wife's pregnant, so apparently it had been released.
Huddle up.
But we had all seen it, and he was showing it around pretty much to anybody. I do remember a police captain that night was at the table, and he was looking at it. A fire department crew was checking out something, I guess a false alarm that happened next door to the bar we were in, and Andrew's showing them. So it wasn't like he didn't want people to see it. He just wasn't releasing it.
How many other penises did he have on the phone? Who else's penis?
It was on his phone. I know, which is very odd.
Yeah, but were there other penises on the phone, or just this one particular penis?
You know what? I didn't scroll. I just looked at the one. When you see one that's that dreamy, you don't have to look for another.
Davin was hoping for a good story to enter his parade.
To have a good-looking Jewish penis out there in the public is not bad for my people. It really isn't.
That's right. What are you going to do? Right? Exactly.
Him and Ron Jeremy.
That is a world-class penis for a Jewish gentleman.
Apparently
really
you're an expert.
I don't know.
He saw a lot of things in that attic.
I think we just broke some news here on this show.
He saw a lot of things in that attic.
We were talking. He mentioned coming in on the show, and we hung out late. It was the oddest thing, hanging out with him and Ann Coulter. And it was just like a satanic Republican conservative meeting that night.
What's the matter? Rush was busy. He couldn't make it and fly into that.
Rush must have been. I don't think he heard that we invited him with his friggin' bionic ear that's broken.
Can Ann Coulter see a penis and identify it as Republican?
You know what? She's that good, my friend.
She's that good, right?
She's that good.
Have we seen Ann Coulter's penis? Is that
revealed? Yeah. You know what? I've never looked. I've never seen it. But that would be an interesting thing to say.
Ann, can she drink? She looks like a drinker.
She can pound a few down.
There's a
girl.
That's
for sure.
We're still talking about drinks,
right?
Yes.
She can arm wrestle everyone.
Ugh.
I've noticed one thing I've noticed after years of doing these political pundit shows, they're all raging alcoholics.
That explains a lot of the things they say.
It's astounding that they go on TV, they go in front of the cameras on Fox, or even MSNBC and CNN, this is no political affiliation drunk.
Sure.
They are all complete drunks. Because when you think about it, when you see them on these shows, you realize they're not doing anything else before or after these shows. You don't see them working or doing it. They just show up to talk on these shows. So in between, they're drinking.
I think I just found my calling.
You got guys working on their resume during this show right now.
Why do you think I found my way into those programs?
Yep. Anthony's just a smarter guy than the rest of us. He did it sooner.
We have to change careers now. Here I was a drunken comic.
Let me ask you a question, Anthony. Now you said, you know, Andrew's right leaning, it matches up with your political views. If he has like a Republican penis hanging out on that phone, would you still try to break the story the way you did?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I didn't care. Like when it was a Republican. What's his name? That was tapping his foot underneath that bathroom stall.
Oh, Craig, Senator Craig.
Yeah, and I was laughing my ass off. I thought that was hysterical. Yeah, I don't have this staunch political affiliation where I won't sell out a Republican in a second if he's being an ass.
Okay.
Or not even being an ass. I don't. And for the record, I don't think Wiener was doing anything wrong aside from from, you know, being married, but, you know, if you look back at my marriage, I did a few things.
Holy smokes.
But I don't care what he's doing. I think it's great. He's clicking pics. He's, you know, sexting. That's fine by me. I don't care. But the fact that it made such big news, and us, you know, the radio industry, you want the big story.
Sure.
If you're jocks, I don't care how many. Every jock that said, this is terrible, those shock jocks, Opie and Anthony did this or that. It's like, you would have done the same thing. Every radio guy wants the publicity.
So this was this all publicity for you? Is that what it was? Because that's what people are going to say.
Yeah, that's, you know what? When you're in show mode, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's a whole nother mindset. You're looking to make noise, you're looking to entertain the people, mm-hmm. anything that can get you noticed, you're going to do. So this was a perfect opportunity for that. And when I go home, mm-hmm. I do have some regrets. Like, I like Andrew Breitbart.
I don't think he feels the same anymore.
What's that?
I've seen the interviews. I don't think he feels the same anymore about
no,
you guys.
And that's just it. I don't think he does either. But I do like the guy. I genuinely had a great time hanging out with him. I talked to them for a long time. And we share a lot of the same ideas and everything. And that did honestly made me feel bad because I didn't want to, you know, be a scumbag to him mm-hmm. and for him to go, oh, here it is, another, you know, dumbass shock jock just trying to get a story so he screws me over.
Right.
Which, by the way, is exactly what I did. you just hope it ends differently. But when you're in that show mode, all you're thinking is that. But then once you get home, there have been some times I've gotten home and gone, man, I said some horrid things about the handicap today.
You know, I've been there.
You know,
After a couple of Guinnesses, it's like huddle.
Exactly. That's where the wine bottle opens and you go, screw it.
Have you spoken to Andrew since then? Have you tried to call him?
We had an exchange right after the pictures went public on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it was me and him. He wanted some kind of statement. He wanted me to make some kind of statement that said he wasn't he had no knowledge of what happened and didn't release the pictures. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I wrote something up. I sent it to him. And what I got back was a revised version of what I wrote mm-hmm. from his lawyer.
Sure.
And then I was like, now this is something else. I can't now sign off on something a lawyer wrote. So I wound up sending it to my lawyer agent.
Mm-hmm.
And now it becomes like a thing, mm-hmm. some kind of legal issue. So then it was just all communications were cut off and whatever happened.
When all was said and done, they had a version of the cat.
I wasn't
going
to make myself culpable to some type of inflammatory habeas corpus.
But, I mean, listen, I mean, nobody, he can't come after you. He can't sue you, so you don't got to worry about that.
No, there's a lot of people have been saying on Twitter and whatnot, they're asking, you know, are you guys screwed? Is the company mad? Sirius has been totally cool about it.
Of course they are. You guys are in the headlines again. Mission accomplished.
Believe me, though, we've been in headlines before, and they've thrown us off the air for a month.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Headlines, schmedlines, they don't care.
Well, let me ask you a question. Since you got Satellite backing you, is this going to follow in the steps of Whip 'em Out Wednesday and leaking penises become a regular bit on the show?
You know, if there were that many wonderful pictures to go out over Twitter, I guess we'd do that. But, you know, the wiener thing was one in a million.
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I think if you can somehow, if you want to one-up this wiener situation, mm-hmm. somehow get Barack to show
please.
His penis.
That's not like, fitting on a camera phone.
You know, and say, I'll show you a penis.
That's the prized penis right there.
There
that's
go.
Gotta be number one on the hit list.
He's gonna be afraid to go to a urinal now because of you maniacs out there.
That ain't no penis.
Michelle,
get the camera.
You definitely don't want that guy. I will say, though, I'm glad my political affiliation doesn't really influence what I do on the show,
mm-hmm.
but I am glad that I think this was the straw that broke the camel's back as far as a Democrat being thrown out of office. So.
He broke the wiener.
But he's still in denial.
I broke this to the wiener that broke the camel's back.
He says he's not going to resign. I mean, how?
None of these guys resign.
You know what it is, though? Pelosi showed him a picture of her penis, and it was much bigger.
Well, you know, the penis is as big as the gavel she used to have.
The only thing that came out of this that came out of this is Nancy Pelosi. I actually siding with Nancy Pelosi on something. Whoever thought that would happen?
Yeah. Well, she's doing an investigation, and it doesn't matter at this point. I've seen politicians in the past say they're not resigning. They're going to hold fast, let the voters decide. But when your party tells you to leave, you leave.
You leave.
And
yeah.
That's what's happening. All the Democrats, and especially, you know, going into Barack, he's campaigning. A lot of these Democrats are going to want to start campaigning for office. They don't want a loose cannon. And, let's just say a loose musket.
I have not seen the photo. I will take your word.
Yeah. All right. A loose derringer out there to screw the election up. So I think the Democratic Party is going to get to him, and I think he's got the perfect out now, because since his wife is pregnant, I think he's going to pull this whole "well, my family needs me" kind of a thing. And
yeah, he
and
doesn't want to go home
out.
To that.
You know what?
Yeah.
Clinton was
peace
a master.
With honor. Peace with honor. A right.
Clinton should give workshops. Listen, Spitzer, Wiener, sit down, guys.
Ensign.
Let me show you. Schwarzenegger. Let me show you how it's going to go.
Bitter.
Let me show you. It goes on and on. You know?
Craig.
Bill Clinton workshop. Now, you boys listen to me. This is how it's going to go down, all right? When I say this, you say that.
You did not have sex with that woman. Insert name.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of the point, though, where social media has made it where years ago this couldn't happen this quickly. Mm-hmm. You go from being a respected working politician to just being the scourge of society in a day now, because all this stuff just comes out and it spreads like wildfire, and there's no defending against it. Obviously, lies don't work anymore because you're leaving an electronic paper trail with everything.
Anthony, you missed the best lie. Anthony, he clearly said he did not know if that was his penis. I mean, that is the best one.
It is. Technology is to blame, and they should all just break down on the stand and cry and go, it was all Tommy Lee's fault.
We're trying to measure up to that penis.
He just influenced me so much.
I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm a rock star.
I was thinking of, though, when you think of this social media and electronic media, is like, obviously, years ago, the politicians still did this garbage, but it was like, you know, Ansel Adams had taken a picture of me with a pinhole camera, and I sent it to a girl that had the scurvy on the Oregon Trail. I am quite sorry, my dear, that this ever happened.
He's got the old-timey voice down.
I was a
old-timey
cab.
Old-timey voice. Well, my dearest Doris, please excuse me for this sketch that I'm sending you. I hope it doesn't get out. 20 years later, the Pony Express brings it back to D.C., and his career's over.
Well, it took 200 years to find out Jefferson was fooling around with his staff, you know?
Well, you had a dummy up back in the day.
Ben Franklin was a war master. Are you kidding?
Did you just call slaves his staff?
Like, Joe's not sure where he comes down on the whole slave.
I like
the
W.
His staff, I want reparations for being a champ.
Sir, we demand a raise. We will unionize.
He was fooling around with the staff, like he's pinching the secretary's cheek during dictation.
Oh, Mr. Jefferson.
You're a blast, man.
Hey, Anthony, worst experience? Yeah. Worst experience, seeing the naked wiener or working for the XFL?
Wow, I would have to. That's a close one. The XFL thing was... It felt like the wiener picture, only it was placed somewhere different on my person. That's exactly how it felt. Yeah.
Oh, boy, we all thought that one was going to fly.
Seemed like a good idea for the
I
first couple of weeks.
With wings, and I'm going to jump off this rock and cruise through the air. No, you're not.
Hey, man, you were on the top of the world at the time. You had to take your shot. It wasn't your fault that the league stunk.
We had been given that offer literally 10 times, and we said no. But then they came across with so much money, we just said, sure, why not? I could use a pool.
Use a pool.
You know, I'm not one of these artistic people that say, I won't do anything for money. I'll do anything for money.
The difference between
anything.
Anthony
offer
and
me enough, I'm doing the Charleston in front of the
Shelby
the
don't run.
I don't care.
The Shelby don't run on love.
Anthony works for Madams. You and I work for pimps. That's the difference.
That's true.
He's in a different class, but we're all in the same game.
You know, I hate phony people that try to be so, that's well below me. I won't do that. It's like, stop. If you have to have a gate open before you can drive into your driveway, you've done some things that you probably, compromised your integrity about.
Yeah, I guess I have a lot of integrity and honesty, so you can drive right up to my one-bedroom apartment anytime you like.
Yeah. Believe me, that landlord looking for the rent never had to drive through a gate.
Oh, no.
Hey, Anthony, we got to take a commercial. Do you want to stick around for the second half?
Yeah, sure, man. I'll hang out.
All right, we're going to go to break. We'll be back more with Anthony in a few moments.
I have 4 children from 6 weeks to 12 years of age. Rhythm and Rhyme prides itself on excellent education.
And we are back. You are listening live to Davin's Den on WTBQ. If you want to call in, number's 845-651-1110. I am joined in studio tonight by Joe Foot Curry.
Hello.
Joseph Anthony. And work at the board, Richard Ball. And I believe we still have Anthony from Opie and Anthony on the line.
Still there?
Yeah?
No, the wheelbarrow full of gold doubloons go over there.
He's a pirate, too. So Anthony, we got all into this whole Anthony Weiner thing, and I think it broadens it out a little bit. In your opinion, is sexting cheating?
Is sexting cheating?
That's what this guy did.
Should I be talking about this?
Well, is your
Melissa,
wife or girlfriend there right now?
Melissa has to leave the room. Okay. Exting tay isn't yay eating tay in yay I'm a yay inyan pay.
Pig laugh.
He's done this before.
Many a time.
No, it all depends on the, I think, seriously, the relationship that you have. The girl that you have, is she cool? Is she,
is she a Mormon?
An old hag? Does she even know what electronic media is?
Well, what is she, two? They all know what electronic media is.
Smoke signal.
I'm sending an etch-a-sketch of my penis. I hope you don't mind.
I mean, Anthony, either they're two or they're 96.
I'm sending it to your Lite-Brite.
Everybody else in between, I think they have a pretty good idea. What, are you trying to get the mentally handicapped to shack up with you? I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just asking a question.
I'd love to pull up in front of the house. There's ramps in front now.
Yeah, I think I have the definitive on this. This is only my opinion, of course. I'm in an awful marriage.
She's not listening to the show right now, clearly.
I could care if she was or she wasn't. It's that bad. She's lucky I don't kill her. Thank God for the
children.
This will
wind up in evidence.
Thank God for the children. That's all I have to say. I feel that if I send a picture of my body parts to a would-be girl and nothing's going on, that's perfectly okay because you're not servicing me at home. However, if she sends out a naked photo, there's going to be a problem. I think that's perfectly fair and just.
But wait a second now. You bring up a point here, Joseph. She's pregnant. She was servicing, the wife of Anthony Weiner is pregnant. Mm-hmm. She was servicing this guy. This guy was getting service. He was just, doing what guys do.
Yeah, that doesn't even matter if the servicing is going on. But a good point was brought up. I think you can really determine if it's cheating or not, whatever you're doing, if you think about your girl doing it, and would it piss you off?
Of course it would.
That seems to be the litmus test.
That's what I'm getting
at. If I may mention chemistry. The
Your friend is smart, Joe.
Isn't that a grunge band?
Yes, litmus test.
Those guys rule.
You going to be opening for them next week too, Joe?
Probably.
Okay, good.
Hey, don't you know what? Fun in the bag. I got my former lead singer on the phone. That's right, man.
Can't open for Zebra every weekend. I know. It's rough.
All jokes aside, it is cheating.
You think it's cheating?
Yeah, it is cheating.
But there's
you
no
have
contact.
To have a really, you know, there's like that AshleyMadison.com, for example. I guess you have to have a really open relationship, and if that's okay, then if it's okay by both of you, and it's just what would you say, harmless flirtation with involving nudity. Great, then that's your arrangement.
But doesn't it lead to more?
Well, if the other one knows and they're okay with it, then it is just that. It's just some naked pictures. Listen, I'm saying that it's wrong, and I'm a bad guy.
Apparently, this show's a confessional for some of us.
I'm a very bad guy, but I'm saying that if you stripped away all the anger, and you need a lot of stripping with me, that it is wrong. It is wrong. You're in a committed relationship.
Hold on a second, then. If sexting or texting or anything is considered cheating, then why not just have sex? Then why not just? How come some guys just do the sexting and don't have actual physical contact with these girls? If it's considered cheating, then why not just have sex if it's the same thing?
Why pay the minutes?
Well, they're filling a void, you know, and in a way they're not as bad as a cheater, but their desire is there.
Dr. Phil, what the hell is going on here? I'm getting a real answer.
Oh, you want a joke?
Dr. Phil just walked in.
Well, I really didn't understand the question. You were like, if sexting is cheating and cheating is texting, if Bill wore a hat and not a fat, wow, we went.
I thought Joe explained it. Harmless flirting with nudity. That's like a slight disagreement with gunfire, you know?
You know, I get drunk at a barbecue. I moon all my neighbor's wives. Am I cheating? There's not even a phone between
us. Yeah, but they're not interested in what you're showing them.
Just ass and taint, and you know, they all seen it.
Well, let's do this. If you're with your wife or girlfriend, whoever it is.
Don't curse me like that.
Well, fine, if you're with somebody else's wife who likes you.
Nice.
No, but if you're with your loved one, and you're in the midst of acts, but you're fantasizing about somebody else, isn't that the same thing as what we're talking about here?
No.
Fantasizing? Sure. No, it's not the same thing.
No.
It's
maybe if you're saying it out loud to her,
right,
that would be a problem.
Not,
but
yeah, no.
Oh, Billy. Oh, damn it. I'm straight. Yeah. Never mind.
Honey, I was just thinking about the post lady. You know, that's different.
Oh, believe me. In my mind, the girl at the bank, this girl I like, mind, I don't just, you know, sit there and zip out some pictures.
Because your wife would frown upon that.
Imagination is a light form of energy that changes quickly.
But this is imagination.
If you take the time to hold the phone in front of your dick.
Oh, stupid. Really?
I'm sorry.
Really?
Did you get that? Did you catch that? All right.
Van Halen, please.
But if you take the phone to hold it in front of your cousin Richard, all right? Then, and Richard's got the phone, and he takes a picture of your naked apparatus, then obviously you have some sort of intent and some unfulfilled thing going on in that relationship.
You clearly thought this out a lot.
Well, you brought it on a table, man. I'm not having sex, so I think about a lot of things. Suicide, murders, sexting.
Anthony, you're living a different life than most of us here are living. Can you
happy.
Can you email Joseph some other pictures that might be on the phone or something? He clearly needs something.
I'm just listening to you guys laughing my ass off.
I'm glad
like,
you find
like,
my
oh,
pain.
Oh, amateurs!
I'm glad you find my pain funny. Yeah.
No, believe me, everyone's pain is hysterical.
Yeah,
I've been
true.
Through it. I was married. Joe Curry will tell you
oh.
It was a living hell, a living hell.
Oh my God! Oh God! Oh boy!
Terrible!
Oh,
holy
my
smokes!
God.
I love my wife.
Oh yeah!
Jesus! It was like being married to one of the pirates in the Pirates from the Caribbean's ride.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense because you were just talking about counting your doubloons. Oh. If you were married, she took all the doubloons.
Let me tell you.
She certainly did.
Especially at the bar when she would get a little inebriated.
All right, so she wasn't a nice person.
She spent some of the best money of my life.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're doing all right for yourself. You have more ex-wives in your future.
I don't really hate my wife.
I snap back. You know, whatever,
I snap back.
I don't really hate my wife.
I'll never get married again. Another one. I'll never put on a wedding ring again.
Farewell and adieu.
The hell is that?
That's George. You never saw George?
Oh, Jaws?
Sure, Jaws. Come on now.
No, it's not. You never heard Jaws?
I don't know the quotes like you.
Shark will swallow your whole.
Wow.
Anthony, I don't know if
Joe,
you've
who
seen...
who are you hanging out with that they don't know quotes from Jaws?
Hold on there, Anthony. The difference between me and Joe, me and your
he
pal,
was in Hebrew class.
Is I have references from this century. Have you ever seen your pals act from the 50s on?
Hey, maybe if I sing some Little Mermaid songs, you might know those.
My daughter loves the Little Mermaid, don't you? Do you have some Barney cranked up that you can sing for me? That's my world, baby. I'm not divorced yet, and I got a four-year-old. This is my escape, this little show. This is all I have. I don't have the naked women hanging out in the hot tubs. This is all I have, my friends.
I understand. I really should take a step back and look.
Yes. We don't all get to hang out with Breitbart and have pictures of penises thrown at us.
You're right, sir. Get out of pictures.
Now, is that... Hold on. I mean, backpedal for a second, Davin. Is that a desire of yours?
Yes.
To have a picture of a naked penis? There,
no, not a. Many schmeckles. Many schmeckles. Right. Emailed me to continue.
I like the way he throws the Jewish tinge
well,
on.
Well, sure. This is the best penis we've had out there.
Look at this guy.
Every radio boss, every boss I've ever had in radio has used the word schmeckle.
I guess I'm going to be...
guess what?
So, Anthony, I'm going to need you in the office tomorrow at 5 a.m., all right?
All right. I'll bring my schmeckle.
Listen, for the Jews, we've had nothing since Koufax. This is the best thing we got going for us. This guy was getting good-looking chicks. You know, Anthony publicizes his penis all over the place. It sucks for his career, but for Jews... Thank you.
It really is. You got to look at the big picture, and for the entire tribe, it really does help. You're right.
Well, we've never done a full show on peni before.
The Jews do just fine.
The Jews do not do
just
fine.
Yes, especially the ones that don't look Jewish.
What does that mean? What are we, the Palestinians behind us?
No, the ones where you can't tell. They're usually pretty good looking, and they have the inheritance money. So that's a triple threat right there.
Anti-Semitic remark there.
Thank you, Anthony.
No, thank you. I'm just. Wow, I'm reading it right from the headline.
What's it say about this show when Anthony's the voice of reason? By the way.
Especially as far as race goes. Jesus, horrible.
I think if Opie was listening to this show, he'd go, "What the f?"
Well, yeah, Davin makes all his guinea remarks when I leave the show anyway.
Oh, I make guinea remarks to you right now.
Oh, what's with the guinea?
See, I love your T-shirts with the cutout sleeves.
Opie would be calling me up saying someone's saying they're you on some radio show.
Listen, Opie's a big fan of us. I'm sure he's listening all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
If he's got a gerbil and a generator.
Come on, we got the best voice in radio working the board. What are you doing to my station?
I understand. We only have our radios tuned to, what are the call letters?
Yeah.
WTVQ, 93.5.
WTVQ, yes. Yeah. I only listen to WTDQ.
Isolate that. Rich, isolate that.
There's actually a line of 12 cars out there.
Anthony Cumia from the Opie and Anthony Show, and I listen to WTDQ.
All right. Everybody in studio, dummy up. Do it again. Take it from the top.
Take two.
Hey, it's Anthony Cumia from the Opie and Anthony Show, and I only listen to WTDQ.
There you go.
There you go.
I can't believe I'm doing freaking promos.
TDQ. He wants chocolate milk, apparently.
Listen, man, you know what? I have to get my own damn sponsors. That might have saved me half a sponsorship right there. Maybe I don't have to get a new sponsor tomorrow because you did that promo for the station. Who am I kidding? Of course I have to get new sponsors tomorrow.
And we'll be over tomorrow to clean the pool.
Yeah. How about this for a plug? My name is Joe.
I got to say something also. This might be a little inside for radio, but I was listening to the spot break that you did, the commercials. Mm-hmm. Can you tell people that have URLs for their websites that are 10 miles long not to spell them? Just say them. I'm listening to it. It's like by the fourth letter, it becomes alphabet soup. I don't know where I am. Yeah. I hit the button, and again, I'm on that horse porno site.
Wait, hold on. Two things. First of all, stupid was me. I was the one with that. Second of all, you would be on the horse porno site anyway. You're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, I know. It's all my favorites.
Is Mr. Ed and Friends still up there?
Mr. Ed? See, another damn 50s reference. Can't you, update it to, the Seabiscuit movie or something?
Mr. Horse. Horses do you know?
I know plenty of them.
There's still a Secretariat. That's 72.
Well, Secretariat's dead like your act.
Just get in your LaSalle and get out of here.
I love Joe. I bust his balls, but Joe's a good friend of mine.
Joe is the best friend, man. I've known Joe for many years.
Many years, man.
And he is the best.
We've been through the ringer together.
Personality, I still hang in there, hoping something will change.
Nothing's going to change.
Nothing.
Nothing. Unless he runs for politics, nothing's going to happen.
I don't have a camera.
Oh, believe me, I got too many stories for him to ever run for office.
Oh my!
How many pictures of his penis do you have on your phone? That's what we want to know.
Oh my God!
On his phone, he's got one on his wall.
Right. All right, your penis is
a mural size.
But when you make a mural out of it, it's beautiful.
That's by my fear.
This is insane. We got to get out of here in a couple
this
of minutes.
This is the gayest show I've ever done.
How long is your show?
It's an hour.
My show's an hour, my friend.
You bastard.
All right, so do something for my career. Put me on your station at the virus at 2 a.m. Give us an hour and a half. You should see the magic we can create.
And what time do you have to be there? I guess an hour ago.
He's good at math and chemistry.
On the bus show, right?
Shit, try 4 hours at 6 in the morning, my friend. Now you're talking a hell job.
Wait a minute. The difference is you're getting paid millions and I'm getting paid nothing.
Good point.
And I drove up here and got pulled over in the woods.
I'm talking to you from my wine closet, getting another bottle of Annapurna Shiraz.
He's got a wine closet?
He's got a movie theater. Ed, tell him about the movie theater.
Oh, yeah, I got a full-size movie theater in my house. It's great.
And a popcorn machine.
You like Shiraz? That's terrible.
It wasn't to be ostentatious or anything. It was just so I didn't have to hear, I ain't turning off my cell phone. So I spent a lot of money just for that convenience.
No, don't lie. It was totally about the money.
Well,
it was capital.
Yeah. So what, Anthony doesn't have black people in his movie theater? Is that what he said?
You should bring one in every once in a while just for fun.
Patrice O'Neill comes in every so often, so that's kind of fun.
What is that, your token black friend, just to make sure everything's fine? You hide the China when he comes in?
Yes. Well, yeah, and?
No, listen, man, we got to get out of here a second, but Patrice ripped my buddy Joe apart when he was on your show many years ago when he was promoting his show in Calgary, and if I ever get the opportunity, I will not let Patrice do that, because Joe is trying to promote a nice little show in Calgary, and Patrice just ripped him a new one, and Joe took it like a little girl.
Yeah, I got
He's a rough one to go against, man. I wouldn't even like go against him. He's, with no pun intended, Mighty Joe Young.
I don't know if you know what he did when I was up there. I was pushing Cal. It was the first time headlining him in another country. He ripped me upon the radar. I get to the airport to go to the club, and the guy goes, "Who's Patrice O'Neill? People are looking for him."
You got to the airport. You should have said he's the guy swatting at planes up on that building.
All right. On that note, we have to get out. Anthony, thank you so much for spending the last hour with us.
Hey, it's no problem, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, man.
My pal Joe Curry is the greatest, and from what he tells me, I have no idea. You guys are pretty cool too. But we suck.
But it was
a
pleasure.
A couple of beers. Unless you're one of those recovering fucking.
No, I'm not there yet. I hope to recover in a couple of years.
Dumb out, I curse.
We got Van Halen queuing. Panama's on the way.
I almost made it to the end without cursing.
What are you going to do? I've been a good boy up until tonight.
Oh, God.
Anthony, man, thank you so much. Listen to him every morning on The Virus on XM Sirius.
XM Sirius LA Radio. I think it's Sirius 206, XM 105 or something like that. Whatever. thanks, guys.
Thank you, Anthony. I love you, man. All right, man.
Later.
We got to fly in a couple
seconds. Up next, Android in a quest to try to help their users allowed an app that would let you figure out if your son was indeed gay. So Joe Curry and I discussed this app and the questions that were in it, and I actually came up with some of our own questions that would help to determine if your son was gay.
So Android and apps are at it again. They've come out with an app that helps you figure out if your son is gay.
It has a rather simple premise. It claims to determine through a series of 20 questions whether or not the survey taker's offspring is in fact homosexual. And yet despite this simplicity of purpose, the app is a surprise and, get this, incredibly controversial.
Why?
No.
I mean, is this not the ultimate case of lazy parenting? Here, son, read this. I don't want to talk to you.
The Android app was made by a French developer. Go figure. And Amin Mui, English, bring me, whose only previous work was Mon Fils est tout gay. English, is my son gay.
What's the difference between this and a questionnaire from Cosmo? I mean, seriously.
This, you find out your kid's gay. A questionnaire from Cosmo means you're in trouble with your chick.
No, okay. And listen, if your son's reading a questionnaire from Cosmo, you know he's gay.
Yeah. Because he knows then he'd be able to get all the right answers. Because God knows no heterosexual man ever got a... You at least ever give the Cosmo quiz?
No.
Oh, do you get my ex-girlfriend used to give me the Cosmo quiz.
Really?
Yeah, and you know you're not gay if you fail it.
You're looking to fail.
You're looking to fail.
Here's a question that I would ask of Dr. Bob if he was here, but instead, I'll throw it to you.
Okay.
Because you're the second when it comes to spiritual. Do you think God made this app this way? Or is this app, or this app became this way and can be changed to a more acceptable app with the proper teaching and retooling?
That is a question to ask, and if we don't ask that question on Monday at 6 o'clock, I want you folks out there to call up and ask him that, then report back to us.
All right. Well, we came up with some of our own questions, but we're gonna. First of all, this app is $2.69. Pretty cheap to find out if your son is gay or not. To be honest, it's a bargain.
It's a bargain.
Not only is he gay, he's Jewish.
Hillary, we got to find out, so we got to go lay out the $2.65.
All right, we came up with our own questions, but we should go through the 20 questions.
Let's go through the 20 questions, and then we will accentuate it with ours.
Does he like to dress up nicely? Does he pay close attention to his outfits and brand name?
Ding, 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 ding.
Do you think
ding,
that makes him gay?
Either makes him gay or makes him metrosexual.
Yeah, that doesn't make him gay.
No, a lot of...
I mean, listen, not every guy is a slob like you or I.
That's true.
You know, I don't think that makes him gay.
No, does he like to dress nicely? Yeah, you know, I get, you know, well, when you're in your 20s, like, I would say between the years of 17 and 30, when you just give up all hope, when you're out... Yeah. Now, when you used to go out to like the club, you know, I used to go out to the clubs and stuff like that back in the day, and I would go to Chess King and all those stores, make sure I look nice.
Yeah, you still wear those
like
stupid T-shirts.
Yeah. Jersey, dirty.
Don't even. I will put you back in the barrel, and I will shove the foot ladder of Notes Divine right up your toes. Do not go there.
But no, if you got a kid and he's like 18, 19, and looking at the dress nicely and close attention, you know, if it's he's probably trying to find chicks.
Yeah, I agree. Does he like football? Only the huddle. I mean, what, because a guy likes football that makes him straight?
Does he like...
Before he was born, did you wish he would be a girl? Really? Really? I have mind control now over this?
Yeah, really, really.
So stupid.
Well, if you're buying everything from that's pink.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you're wishing. You're not... It doesn't say, do you dress him up in frilly stuff?
That's true.
Has he ever gotten into or participated in a fight? Yes, but it was a slap fight and a pillow fight.
Bitch.
I mean, what? Does that mean because he's a... I mean, what does that mean? If you are effeminate, you're going to get in fights because people are going to pick on you. And if you're full of testosterone, you're going to get in fights because you're a brute and you're looking for a fight. What does that mean?
It depends on whether you're winning them or not.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Listen, nobody wants to fight the gay guy. Next thing you know, they climb on top and the guy on the bottom screaming for mercy.
That's true.
Does he read sports magazines? Yes, just for the pictures.
Men's gymnastics.
Gymnastics Weekly. Looking to work that pommel horse. Does he have a best friend? Yes, and they cuddle. What of it? Does he have a best friend? Everybody has a friend.
Yeah. Does he have a best friend?
Well, no. Nobody talks to the gay. They put them off in a corner, and then nobody talks to
them. Does he sleep with the best friend? That should be the question to ask.
That's a best friend, a boy or a girl?
Yes, that's the second.
But you
question.
Know, for the longest, I mean, I've had best friends that were boys and girls. That doesn't really matter. That's stupid.
It is a stupid question.
Does he like team sports?
I bet he does.
Yeah, only when they pile on, high five and slapping the tush. Does he like? What does that that mean that he liked team sports? There's gay athletes and there's straight athletes. The gay athletes just don't say anything because the shower experience is going to be a little different for him.
A little standoffish in the shower.
Is he prudish or modest? It depends on the size of his penis. If he has a big penis, he's showing that sucker off.
Yeah, right.
Is he prudent? What? I think that's saying because, like, gay people are flamboyant.
Well, yes, that's probably what they say. I mean, if he loves to ride on a float and assless chaps, there could be a possibility.
Yes, but gay people work behind the scenes on Broadway as well as in front of house on Broadway. Does he like diva singers?
Now, you got to admit that.
Who doesn't? Give me the Gaga, I say. I like her sass.
But there's a difference between Gaga and a Bette Midler and Eliza.
You know what? In high school, there was a friend. We made fun of him. We called him Blaine. That was not his name. who we suspected, and he loved the Madonna.
Did he?
And you know what? Loving the Madonna while we were all into metal or rap or whatever the hell we were into, it's kind of a clue. If you're a straight guy, love him. It's kind of a clue.
Have we heard from Blaine at all lately?
He's a Facebook friend.
Is he?
Probably defriending me after this.
No.
Hey, Todd, so listen. Does he spend a long time in the bathroom? Every man spends
a long time in the bathroom.
We're reading, we're pooping, we're looking for peace and quiet, or we're enjoying ourselves doing something else. What does that mean, does he spend a long time in the bathroom? If you have a teenage boy, no matter where you are, you're going to hear this.
Come on, let's go.
What are you doing
in
there?
Go.
Zip. Nothing, Mom. I'll be right out.
Right. Yeah, because Dad's got to get in there.
Exactly. Does he have a tongue, nose, or ear piercing? Now, that should be a question if he's a vampire, not if he's gay.
Yeah, and nowadays every kid has a tongue, nose, or ear piercing.
Does he spend time getting ready to be seen in public? No, he rolls out of the bed with his feety pajamas on and just hustles right out. What does that mean?
Well, it depends, okay? If you're getting ready for work and just to hang out, watch the ball game, you know, and he spends a long time getting ready, But if, like I said, if it's like, you know, the weekend and it's time for dancing or romancing, you got to look good.
Absolutely.
You know?
Have you asked yourself questions about your son's sexual orientation?
Why don't you ask them?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you won't need the stupid app.
Yeah, man. How about having a conversation with your boy, you jackass?
Yeah.
Are you divorced? Yes, probably, because you don't know how to communicate.
They should have a crappy parent app.
I think they do. It's this.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you divorced? Why? Because you don't know how to make a marriage work and you can't communicate with people. That means your son is gay? Oh, goodness gracious. Does he like musical comedies? All right, you got me there.
All right. However, there's one musical comedy he should love coming out in 2012, The Weight of the World. That will be a musical comedy that everybody will enjoy, so stay tuned.
I'm going to let that lie the way it deserves.
No.
Has he introduced you to a girlfriend ever?
I love this way, ever.
No! You're an embarrassment! Now, why would he introduce you? If he introduces you to his girlfriend, Jenny, you're going to hand her an app, a virgin app or something.
Right.
You stink!
And this is question 16. From question 15 back, he wants to spend little time at the house with you as possible. He's not even want to be there.
Is the father... you. Oh, so a mother can't even ask this. I'm the father.
Oh.
Is the father, you very strict or authoritarian with his son? Yes, he likes beatings, but who doesn't?
Yes, right.
Get the belt and pull down the pants. It's fun time and discipline. What does that mean? If you push him too hard, he's going to push somebody from behind? What does that mean?
I know. You're leaving your library records in the garage again.
In your family, is the father absent? Yes, because you are an embarrassment as a man.
Yes.
I mean, downloading apps. Of course your father could see that you were a loser from day one and left you. You stink. 269? Yuck. Go to Iraq and buy a tank.
Yeah. Was he shy as a child? Yes, because he was embarrassed of who he's living with.
Oh, my God. Final one. Is he close to his father? No, his father's a dink and a jackass.
You know, they're really laying a trip on the father. They're really saying that this is pretty much the father's problem.
Listen, dads, if you have a gay son, you did it.
Let me tell you something. Whether you're gay is a gene that you have in yourself. It's not your environment, okay? I was raised by two women. I was raised by my grandmother and my mother.
Yeah, now you wrote a musical comedy. Point noted.
Stupid. All right, well, maybe a point there. However, I used to be dragged to dress stores and all this other stuff. Yes, yes. When you had to go to the Suburban set out in Center Reach and
sit
there.
So did your skirt cover your knees?
No, but let me tell you something.
That did not miniskirt read the joke, Harry?
No, but it's just because basically on paper, I maybe should be effeminate. However, I drink beer, I curse, I smoke cigars. You know, I have a wife. You know, it's basically your DNA or however you're programmed. It's not, you know, it's not the environment that you were affected around.
If only Dr. Bob had a take on this.
Oh, God almighty. Ye is fine if thou like musicaleth, and walking thine backwards through with thy gilded pad, some nonsense.
Walking thy backwards. Don't bump into the tree.
You're right.
Ooh, that branch.
Ooh, thine oak branch smarteth, but yet it feeleth good.
I came up with questions, Joe. My own questions. Joe.
Gee whiz, Davin, I am also out of questions myself. Maybe we should move again next to the next topic.
No, I came up with questions that we should add to the app.
That is a very good idea, Davin. Why don't we read some of the things that we have come up to and lend some insight into this interesting topic?
Well, Joe, I tried to communicate you off mic, and as usual, you were a dunderhead.
A dunderhead? What kind of
this
signals are you give me? Really?
This is gonna
really? Those are signals?
I give you plenty of signals. Here's two right now.
Yeah. You know, we can stick both of your signals.
Yeah, well, if
stupid.
I'm gay, I'll enjoy it.
Yuck. All right.
People are really going to be surprised what they see when we get the camera. All right. I came up my own questions, Joe, because I am concerned about the gays and the apps. All right?
I'm concerned about the gays and the apps.
What?
Oh, you know, it's the gays and the apps that are ruining this country. That's what I'm concerned about. That's my two cents. That's all I'm saying.
That's very manly of you.
That's right. He's gays and your abs are ruining the country.
Does he look forward to going to the proctologist? Joe's all choked up.
Choked on, yeah.
Does he think My Little Kitty is the cutest? And My Little Kitty is the cutest. Does he smell good? Because no heterosexual male smells good. And if he has your car noir, he's straight and trying to cover up his stink and doesn't know what decade it is.
Does he dance? Start dancing when it starts playing It's Raining Men?
I think we all do.
Ah, who doesn't? Oh.
Does he insist on soy milk in his frappuccino?
Does he always feel proud when he walks out of a closet?
Oh, no. Only if it's clean and tidy.
Ah!
Does he know that timing is everything when it comes to making a perfect souffle?
Does he watch Glee and actually enjoy it?
Mm, good question. Does he not know how to hold a hockey stick?
Does he actually know where to put the puck?
I think he has an idea.
Ah.
Every time he wrestles, does he insist that the ref counts to 50 instead of 3 while pinning or being pinned?
Backwards.
Does he love getting changed in gym but hates participating in gym?
Has he ever been clumsy with the soap?
Oh, goodness. How would you monitor that?
How would you monitor that?
I mean, now you got to stand there and watch your son take a shower, and I think that makes you a little bit of the gay.
Yeah, that's 3 times, son. Be careful.
Does he want his name lengthened, i.e. Joe to Joseph, Mike to Michael, John to Jonathan, fag to faggot?
Do things seem good or fabulous?
Fabulous!
Fabulous.
Does your son suspect that you're ill-equipped to parent and instead waste time and money buying stupid apps?
And if you're gay, please don't be offended, because as you realize, as we do, this is totally ridiculous, and your makeup has no bearing on the kind of person you are, and it's just another idea of something that's totally nonsensical that breeds hatred.
What the hell was that?
That's my disclaimer.
We're doing disclaimers now?
What the hell?
Listen, if you're gay, I don't care if you're pissed off. I don't care at all. I think this app is nonsense, but if you're upset because we're making fun of you, deal with it. You should have been here a couple of weeks ago when we were making fun of all the racial pastries and treats and everything.
That's
true. I don't care if you're offended. You write to Sweaty Balls or something. I don't care.
Right. Now, for the people that like the Dr. Bob show, I'd like you to explain it in Dr. Bob terms.
Pleaseth, don't be offendeth, because what Godeth cometh down and giveth you the smacketh downeth on your derriereth.
Number 277.
No, really, I mean, really, we don't really care if we're offended. I think you could tell that we think this is nonsense.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, we have gay friends, we've slept with gay men. It's what we do here at the Den.
Hey, you know, equal opportunity.
Listen, we'll sleep with anybody who's willing to sleep with us. Dr. Bob, if you're listening, please, come on in.
Yeah, but just when you propose it to us, just make it clean and to the point.
All right, we got to get through this. We got about a minute here.
Minute.
Up next, we have quite the expose on Pip's ass. We really learned quite a bit about her ass during this segment, and we also learned how many Bugs Bunny voices Joe Curry could do. It was more talk about Pip's ass than I ever thought would be possible, but I hope you guys enjoy her ass, and I hope you're not eating during this discussion, because you might lose it this week.
Oh, Lord. Well, okay. Joe's been trying to get his.
Joe, don't take us off air. Get stupid away from the technology. Give Kong a banana. He's going to take us off the air.
What are you looking for, Joe?
I'm looking for the connector.
He's looking for his mic.
For the mic?
Cord.
All right.
His absolute
Paschetti. there's a bowl of licorice going on the table here, and unfortunately, he was working very diligently to string along the line to plug in his mic, and he was pulling on mine. So no, don't take me off. No, wait, is that yours? Oh man, yeah, okay. This is like looking for a needle in a haystack in a spaghetti factory.
You know it's bad when Joe's shocked at how stupid he is. Fucking moron.
Oh, man.
Yes, that's what we've established. Isolate that. Joe Curry admitting, I'm the moron.
Never mind. Hello, hello, hello.
It's like, I killed them? Yeah, I killed them.
Talk again, Joe.
Hello, hello, hello.
Joe's on mic.
Yeah, he's on.
Alrighty.
Alright, so what happened with you?
Oh, bless. The last while, but particularly last 2 days, have been a real pain in the ass. And I mean literally.
Bitch.
No, what?
Bitch.
Kong is mad.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why you're mad for my misfortune.
You said you've been a pain in the ass or have been a pain in the ass?
No.
She's had a pain in the ass.
Oh.
It's like you moved in.
Yeah. No, and you know what? I'm really glad that I went on record on the show to say that I don't do that. That no one enters the castle, because everybody, that's would be the entire
We're talking about your butt.
Yes, we are. What? Nothing in the butt.
Did somebody sneak into your ass?
Here we go. Nobody snuck into my ass. Here's a little picture for the stick cam.
What?
Yeah. No ass.
I don't get it. Oh, I see what you did.
Oh, you know what I did there? Anyway. So.
Hey, DJ Fatty. DJ Fatty. We started talking about butts and Fatty. DJ Fatty from... Alright, that was Joe fucking things up.
Wow.
Hey, Fatty, how are you? Yeah. Go to the chat room if you want to talk about Pip's ass.
Oh, great. So DJ Fatty got excited when that topic came up?
It's when he came online. He's like, wow, we're talking about Pip's ass?
Yes, unfortunately. Oh,
it's amazing how much the listenership goes up and I lose my lunch at the same time. It is amazing the effect you have on a show. So you've had a pain in the ass. What does this mean? Since you said nobody's entered because you have, like, guard cats there.
Yes.
Hemorrhoids?
Well, that's
Joe naming his favorite ass ailment.
That's what I thought. But
we'll say it, because people... Ouch. he's stupid. For the vast majority of people, they're going to listen to this. So they're not going to see your stupid picture of ouch. Thank you, Joe, for logging in.
What do you expect all this stuff to be done? I ran late. I was in traffic. It's got to be done. I don't think people are shocked by computer sounds.
Yeah, no.
Well, I'm sure my computer
well,
sounds.
Yours sounds well, when it goes on, we are a little shocked.
It depends on what that sound.
All right.
Sounds were.
So what type of ailment do you have? Is it in the ass or on the ass?
This
really is not a difficult question.
No, it's.
Is it inside the cheek?
Tell about the asshole.
It's inside the crack.
It's inside the crack.
Really?
Yes.
So, were you fisted with barbed wire in there?
You know what? One would have thought, but
did you sit on something in the hoard?
No, actually.
Did you sit on something in the hoard?
Just trying to think how this could happen.
You know what? And you made a very good guess, my friend.
Thank you, Joe.
It's a very distinct possibility that could happen.
Because I know how she feels about. The anal arts.
Yes.
Right? So,
yes.
You know, Pip's going on record that she's a whore, but not that type of whore.
Thank you very much.
Did you sit on a cat and cat was pissed? What happened?
And Claude tried to get out?
It was a stuffed swordfish. You know,
Was Stumpy trying to work off his vet bill? What exactly happened?
Well, you know, I thought it was just a general case of hemorrhoids, which I've never had before, and I was like, you know what? I don't know what's going on there.
Enjoy dinner.
Yeah.
Hemorrhoids. It's what's for dinner.
This is a public, this is a
what do Pip Helix and George Brett have in common? They both hit 390.
You don't remember that season? You were very good.
Oh, thank you. No,
unfortunately,
I
in comedy, you need to hit 950. But those are rough mics. What are you going to do? All right. So you got this ailment in your ass.
Yeah.
Is it a cyst?
No.
We should play a game, what's in Pip's ass?
Now you tell us.
I had no idea. You think
no
this
idea.
Shows up Pip. In show prep, Joe?
Pip.
You think Pip. I'm blocking out time for Pip's ass?
Yes. Pip. It's time for Pip prep. No. So now. Pip.
Prep H, maybe.
So now. What's a Pip's yeah, ass? I know.
What's
a Pip's I know.
Ass? What could be up there?
Oh, no,
look at Joey's right in the gym. Mr. Industrious all of a sudden.
I don't think that we're going
to
have.
Once again, I don't have to hit the blah, blah, blah. So two out of the three shows, you have brought excellent stories.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know what? I don't think that we're, hopefully, I really hope, we're never going to have cause for that jingle again, besides this story.
Really?
Oh, my
one
God.
One never knows.
Well, first of all, those friggin' bastards who make Preparation H. Bastards. Because...
I know. We're making a Preparation H to smear in your asshole. Not Preparation I or Preparation K.
I've never had ailments of the ass.
Well,
like
never did I. So I'm thinking, well, what do you see on TV?
Usually, your ass is quite welcoming.
It is. Well, actually, it's not welcoming, but it's fine. It's usually fine and dandy. We get along just fine.
You don't get a lot of ass descriptions like that.
Right. My ass is fine and dandy. And so I'm looking at TV, and what do they say to use? Preparation H. That's what you would think, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what you use if you actually have hemorrhoids. If that's the problem, there's your man. But if that's not the problem,
there's your Preparation H. Here I am. Preparations on the way. Oops, not my job. Sorry, I'm out of here.
Sorry.
I've seen terrible things. Preparation H needs some time off.
Sorry.
Perhaps I can introduce you to my sidekick, Desitin.
My work is done here. I will now fly up the anus. Dun, 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 dun.
For Preparation H, can't hook up with the ladies, always has bad breath. Huddle, huddle,
ho.
Is that shit on your cape? Well, yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And a big H on my chest. No, so now you think that that's what you're supposed to do. And you're...
Fatty's enjoying this story the way it should be enjoyed, by the way, with rum and Coke.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, so you drink heavily, because I don't think this should be
Unwind.
Enjoyed sober.
Add more rum. So, now, and speaking of alcohol...
Wait, what? Oh, you put alcohol there?
No. Speaking of alcohol, do you know what those bastards put in those little wipes that they say that you're supposed to use
alcohol.
When you have a problem like this? Alcohol.
Because it shrinks it.
Ah! Yeah.
Dries it out.
And you know what? If you have...
Your asshole disappears?
Now, are you handling this yourself? Are you calling in people to help?
No, I was handling this myself.
Because it could be very hard to reach.
No. I mean, I can...
Now, is Mr. Helix aware of what's going on?
He has not seen this, but I told him what
now,
was going
at this point,
on.
Is he asking to sleep on the couch?
No, I was sleeping on the couch because I was really uncomfortable.
All right.
So, now...
What was that popping?
I don't know. There's some weird noise going on.
It's
I hope it's not my
story.
Ass.
All right, go on.
Okay, so... Now, if you have hemorrhoids, this is the thing that you use on them. However, if the problem doesn't actually happen to be hemorrhoids, putting alcohol on an open cut...
Why don't you see a doctor?
I did. Well, so
I did. Yes, that's what we're talking about.
Plumber and fluckatash. Somebody's asshole is on the print.
Whoa! It don't look like hemorrhoids!
Look at
you, rascally hemorrhoid!
Ooh, you varmint! Ouch! Ooh, you varmint! You pricked on my asshole!
Oh my God.
Now I gotta go back to this ship and get another Preparation H!
Oh, this is piles of fun!
Oh, God.
Would I put a lighted match in your asshole if I thought it was hemorrhoids? You might, Rabbit, you might!
You know what you could have used?
What?
The fuzzy red monster. That would have been nice and gentle on your ass.
The fuzzy red monster?
What?
You know, the like, he was after Bugs Bunny. He's just eyes and a fuzzy.
Oh,
yeah. Assholes are the most interesting things. Bobby Pinsley.
We finally
Bobby
found
Pinsley.
A talent for Kong. Kong's at the top of the mountain, at the top of the Empire State Building with the girl, and he's regaling her with impressions. She doesn't want to leave all of a sudden.
The monster
who knew Kong had this talent?
I gotta tell you how funny Kong is. That's funny.
Roar! And then he does Bugs Bunny. I like Kong.
You never know.
I mean, sure, his balls are dragging on the 64th floor, and our view is ruined, but still, he's doing good impressions.
Could you move your nuts? You're blocking my view.
That's funny. That's what the doctor said to me.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You got all sorts of stuff going on.
Pip's asshole. Let's get back into it.
There's the worst segue ever. Not because of the merit of the segue, but because of what it led into.
Oh my god.
You know, Pip is, you know, when we talk about Pip's ass, she's suddenly much more entertaining.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. You have not died of humiliation.
It's Where is Pip? They can't see you. We only have the ass cam ready, sir. Yes. Avert your eyes.
You don't want to see.
There's nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Her ass is pixelated. It's pipelated.
There's a lot of pixelation going on. So the thing is that you don't really know humiliation until you have to call in to work with a bad ass.
Well, you don't tell them you have a bad ass.
No,
you tell them
something
else.
No, at my workplace, because I've been out for a while with bronchitis and stuff, they are riding my ass on every day I'm out sick. So I actually have to tell them why. And I was like, because it's embarrassing and it has to do with my ass. Do I really have to go into it? Ha ha ha. But, oh God, I wanted to die. So, and then, I'm laughing about it now, but when you walk in, first of all, called my doctor. They say, well, there's really nothing we can do for you if you tried Preparation H and that's not doing it. You have to go to a colorectal specialist. I'm like, really? So,
colorectal. I don't even like the way that sounds.
Colorectal specialist.
I don't like the way that sounded either. So
sounds like somebody's worked on our show as an engineer.
And, so they weren't open until 2:00.
Sounds like that job stinks. Huddle.
Really?
Oh.
Really? Are you really surprised that I went there?
No.
It was left on the table.
Oh, wait until
much like her ass.
Well, I'm getting there. Wait until you hear what the stupid thing that I said to the doctor. So now I'm at home. First of all, things had progressed to a bad place. And there was nothing that you can use when your ass is shooting flames out of it.
Right.
To the point where I literally almost... I felt nauseous. I had to, sit down and, get a grip.
Sit down. That must have hurt, too.
Oh, everything. I was just like, my husband looks at me like, what the hell? And I'm like, ass! Fire!
Ass! So you thought you were just talking to him.
No, he thought I was inviting him. And I said, no!
Ass! Fire! Wow! For the first time! Sure is adventurous. What, are you going to corduroy the ass? So once he's in, nobody gets in again? Seal this off!
It's like last year. What is it, girl? What is it? Pip's asshole? Let's take me to it.
For the first time in the show's history, Joe's 50s references were actually on point.
I'm going to high five the man. He's killing me. More than my ass was yesterday.
Where were you when her ass hurt? There you are, just going about your own life. She had an ass emergency.
Ass emergency.
It was an ass emergency.
It was an ass emergency. It was the worst. So,
hearing about it is pretty bad, too.
Yeah, no, I know. But living through it was bad. But at some point, especially since those bastards put alcohol in everything that you could possibly use that you think that you're supposed to help you, I read the ingredients on those normal wipes. They not only put alcohol in there, they also put citric acid. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, you know, you want your ass to have vitamin C.
Oh, my God.
It can't all be vitamin A.
Like, shot through.
And so you have freshly squeezed ass. I don't want any pulp in this ass. That's just disgusting.
An asshole without orange juice is an asshole without sunshine.
Pip's ass, not from concentration. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Pip Helix from Minute Maid.
We should try to get them to sponsor.
Minute Maid. Yeah, I know. Yeah, oh, geez. So,
Simply Fresh. Ass.
So the stupid doctor doesn't even open until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
He's an asshole. Well,
if you had that waiting for you, you're going to rush to work first thing in the morning? Really? You're going to, after bacon and eggs, you want to get to work so you can see an ass at 8 a.m.?
Well,
I don't think so.
I certainly don't want to see this right after lunch.
I don't want to see it at all. I'm closing up shop.
You don't have to see it. I'm just going to describe it.
Okay, you are backing in.
beep, beep,
I didn't mean
beep.
That way. But,
I know, but I might as well.
You know, you might as well let him know, get a good look at what he's working with.
I just backed it up on the dock.
There's like tape on our Pip's ass under construction.
Teamsters there with rubber gloves.
19 of them just standing around doing nothing. One guy just waving the doctor through slowly.
Three for the three camera shoot. It was terrible. Wait, in the doctor's office, they actually, well, first I went to the ER because I didn't know what the fuck to do. And I was
it's reasonable. Well, you know what? We'll just pay for that.
Just take
your ass. Just let the taxpayers pay for your ass.
Just take your ass down to the ER.
I have health insurance.
Take your ass to the hee-haw?
ER.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, the ER. I thought you said the hee-haw.
No. Ooh, no.
No, I have health insurance.
Oh, poo. Oh, different ER.
No, we could. What's the matter with Pip's ass?
Yeah.
See, that works on a couple levels.
Yeah.
I know. And when you get to the point where you're afraid to poo, it's time to go to the ER.
Pull my finger. No.
No. Don't, no fiber, please.
Oh, Christopher Rob and I saw Pip and I mentioned poo and she got all upset.
Where was this talent? Where the fuck has that curry been hiding for the past year plus? How the hell are we not on series if he's going to ass stories, cartoon impressions, all interwoven into one? Look, bring it, Opie and Anthony. You ain't that's Opie and Anthony in the day doing shit like this.
Look at all the impressions he's pulling right out of his ass.
Well, it ain't pulling it out of your ass. That shit's been condemned.
I know.
Mary's going, nobody comes here anymore.
No, I won't let them.
Condemned.
So I go to the ER, and at this point, I'm pretty upset. And so I have to, go up to them, and I'm like, I have an embarrassing problem. And the woman was really cool
that I'm
going to
share with everybody on the radio.
And I know.
Stop whispering into the PA.
I'm sorry, ma'am. That's how we call people that we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
I have something wrong with my ass. Thanks for sharing, weird lady. So you go in the waiting room, and
of course
you get a triage.
Well, you can't sit there. You're standing, reading the Highlights magazine.
I know. Yeah. No. Well, I was sitting there, but
were you on one cheek?
No.
Yeah. How did you? Because those chairs are uncomfortable.
Actually,
and if anybody knows about uncomfortable chairs, it's Kong.
Yeah. Yes, he gets the comfy chair.
I know. I actually did offer her your chair tonight. Yes. But she's such a trooper. She just doubled up on pillows.
I did.
And those pillows were burned.
Why
are
you in this chair? Your condition?
No.
You're a poor little asshole. I don't
how
want
about my condition putting up with this
asshole.
Shit.
You're a poor little asshole there. I don't want you to get hurt, do you?
No, I doubled up on cushions.
Thing said to Joe after a show, you poor little asshole.
I did make a point of pointing out to Mrs. Davin that
there
is a waterline mark on this cushion that I did not make, because I think he was ready to put down a drop cloth when I told him that I had something to discuss. But, you know, so
I was encouraging you to drive quickly. And safely.
Yes.
And safely.
He didn't want to be alone with this, and I'm glad he wasn't. So in the ER, they take a look. Oh, God, I have a female PA, and she tells me that it's hemorrhoids. And she gives me all these things to do, and here's a prescription.
But you're like,
this.
No, it's not hemorrhoids.
Well, I didn't know what it was.
Looks
I didn't
she's got a hemorrhoid on her
there.
Face right now. Look at that thing.
It's a hive.
You're a mess.
I know. Tell me about it.
You're a hideous woman.
I've got pustules popping.
I don't know which way to look. If you're coming or going.
Turn away. Turn away.
During this conversation, I am not coming. But this is,
anybody is.
And I'm afraid to go.
I'd be a real creep.
I don't want you to go. Who knows what's going to come out of it?
I know. So carry on. Yeah,
carry on.
I know. So
our hotline.
So that's what they tell me is going on. So I'm like, oh. What?
Skidmore College.
Skidmore College. How ironic is that?
Is it Skidmore College?
It was Skidmore College. They're calling for my wife, but I have the phones down here. She won't get that call.
Skidmore College. I think that they thought that.
All right, so how does this story end? Well, there can't be much more than I did there.
Yes, I did.
I didn't even mean to.
So, because my husband was, Mr. Hillux was concerned about me in the morning.
Of course, he's got to live with you. Nobody wants a woman with an ornery ass.
No, because the rest of me was
ornery ass.
Mr. Kumi has story about ornery asses too if we were at the compound tonight.
yes, one in particular.
Yeah.
If you remember. So he was. I was texting him as I'm going along during the day, and so the one PA checks me out, and then
I bet he did.
No, she. And then I go
lesbian.
Over. I go over to the doctor's office, which was the specialist afterwards, because I thought I'd make an appointment to follow up, because that's what they said to do. And the woman takes me right there.
Right.
but I.
Yeah, we see what you did.
This is an ass emergency. My God.
She's looking for his approval. See, I could play two guys. See, fellas, include me.
That sphincter.
God. I'm not just ass stories, guys.
But,
come on.
But this was the thing that was really disconcerting.
Really?
Amongst things.
I've heard a lot of things that it is concerning.
I know. I walk into this office, and there's nobody in the reception area, and so I'm standing there because, you know, they shuffle off and file things and come back.
Shuffle off.
But I'm standing there for quite a while, and nobody is showing up, and there's no, like, bell or somewhere to alert people.
I don't want bells or whistles. There's an ass that needs attention.
Must have felt like an asshole standing there.
I did.
Thank God for Pip Helix laughing at that shit.
I figured they were out in the rear. So,
hey, I dropped it there. I can't help you.
So as I'm standing there, all of a sudden I hear, ow, oh.
It's the right place.
And now I think it's a male doctor there. All I hear, now the receptionist is missing, and I'm hearing, oh, oh, in the background from
the
male
voice. They
all
want to see what the girl looks like in the chat room. Guys, go,
no, really,
guys,
no.
Check us out on Thursday. We're at Anthony Kumi's live from the compound.
Sure to
disappoint. We're all going to be on screen.
I'm wearing a mask after this.
Yeah, I just got this little camera here from this place. You can all see what Pip looks like. And as a special treat, she'll show her ass.
No, yay. I do not promise.
Yay.
That. No one wants
yay.
To so they
I think they just had an earthquake there.
Where?
I don't know.
Oh.
But it says they had an earthquake.
Like,
oh. Well, good luck, guys, and Godspeed. Hope that wasn't Pip's ass dropping.
I was like, my problem wasn't that bad. But
I feel bad. There was an ass drop on that.
So I
you're ruining the earth.
You and your ass. Yeah.
You and your ass.
There was a problem
there's
in the core.
There's a fault line in your crack. Oh.
As a matter of fact, there is a fault line.
They're saying there was an earthquake in Boston?
Really?
Really.
Holy shit.
I didn't get up there.
Wow.
No.
Boston. Too bad there wasn't an earthquake in Detroit, so the Yankees had time to get a new team.
Oh, ouch. Yeah.
Wow.
So I text my husband. As going on.
Real what? Dice Clay says it's Mitt Romney's trying to gain some votes. Very nicely done, Real Dice Clay.
Nice.
He's
nice.
Over there now.
He's over there now.
So I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Boston has too. I know.
So I text my husband,
right.
And I tell him that I've been violated by two different women today. And,
he's like, "Why wasn't I invited?"
And the three kids are good cranking one out. He got back to the conversation.
No, he texts back, "Lucky." He's such a crazy bastard. So now,
are we okay? Is the ass okay?
I just want to tell you this one other thing, though. In the office...
How long is this ass story?
It goes on forever, like the ass in question.
Fatty says, yeah, she liked it.
Yeah. No.
He's listened.
Yeah, I know, he does.
He's listened to
There's a... You know, there's like a table that you get checked out on in every doctor's office. This one has a little kneeler, like you're in church. And you
somebody's going to give a blowjob to pay for this bill. We can't go my preferred method today.
I don't think it's kneeling that way.
Oh, it is like church, Joe.
Yeah, you're going to be going, oh, God!
Really? And you
does he shine a flashlight in there?
There's a
he yells in, hello! Hello!
Hello!
Hello! I dropped my keys.
There's like a little book lamp, a little reading lamp, right? Poised in just a right angle. Now you kneel on this little kneeler and you put your arms on the table and the thing lifts at a tilt.
Goodbye, Mr. Jones.
Your ass up in the air.
That so, primes you. I have one of them in the bedroom.
But did you just see that? The clamp clamps you and you just lift it up. Goodbye, Mr. Jones.
I'm sure you could look for those things on the internet in movies.
I'm sure you could. I was like, oh my God, I'm in the submissive position here. And I thought, but the first thing I'm thinking while I'm doing this, I'm like, oh my God, my ass is up on the lift and she's checking my undercarriage. This is terrible. It was like going to a garage for my
you're
ass.
You're going to need to put some anti-rust on that. When was the last time you oiled this ass?
You'll have to ask Mr. Healy.
I think you got tetanus.
Oh.
Oof, really?
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
I recognize that. It's terrible. There's more to this?
No.
This is the longest ass story.
It's a very good ass story. I'm curious because we really haven't gotten to the problem yet.
Well, that's exactly what it was. It was completely the opposite of what they told me at the ER. It's not hemorrhoids. It's a fissure, which is a crack. So I basically have like an open cut.
Ew!
On my ass.
Really?
Really?
That is the most nasty thing I've heard on this show.
Thank you.
And we've said some nasty things on this show.
Yeah, Fisher. Yeah, it's great.
Real Dice Clay, Pussy Fisher.
No, not there.
It's not Mount Geyser, stupid.
It didn't go all the way across the table.
She's not
like
a squirter.
No, So meanwhile, I'm using all this stuff.
She tore her roast beef. You got the wrong part.
It's the other end.
Flip me over.
You heard it here first.
Just take a run across the taint, and you'll be right to the story.
There you go.
Run across the taint. It's not a 5K, stupid.
Over the river.
It's a slight jog. Just a slight jog.
Hold your nose and jog, you asshole.
Over the river and through the woods.
The pips, that's how we go.
Real Dice Clay's like, it ain't that far away.
No, it ain't. So it ends up that
We solve this fissure?
Yes. Yes.
What do we get? Some like silly putty? What?
No,
caulk it?
She gave me like this ointment, told me to completely ignore everything the ER said to do, and that I
pay no attention to those animals.
Because she's a specialist.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Mm. So I'm like, everything that I was doing was making it worse.
So what do they give you to put up your ass?
Not up your ass.
Just the stick that's usually there.
You have to sit in the bath, in a nice warm bath, to like relax.
In a
sitz
bath?
Oh,
in
a sitz bath. I was just about to say that.
No, in a real bath. Like in a real warm bath and just sit and
little
relax
Epsom
your crack.
Little Epsom salts?
No!
Look at her like she just got like fisted. No!
I would.
The whole idea. No more salt. No more alcohol.
No salt in this ass.
Oh!
No more goddamn citric acid. Nothing Burnie.
Be gentle with thy ass. Kiss thy ass.
Pick my asshole with kid gloves.
It hurts so bad, I literally almost threw up. It hurts.
You know, I gotta say, I really don't want you touching the stuff on the table anymore. That's mine.
Did you see it throw? Did you get so hurts? It throws up in the tub. Now it's really disgusting.
Oh, that would be horrible. That would be really horrible. No, so she gave me this ointment, and let me tell you, this is magic.
Really?
Magic ass
DJ
ointment.
DJ Fluffy J says, hey, guys sitting here. Hey, little DJ Fluffy J. You know, Fluffy J is exactly what you could have used on your ass. Little
Fluffy J.
That's a try Fluffy
DJ Fluffy J.
You try preparation H, think J instead of H.
Is this
Fluffy
from Hawk?
J.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're not on Hawk right now, but we got the DJs listen to us instead of their own show at Hawk. Get us back on Hawk live where we belong.
Fuck you.
That motherfucker who complained about the horrible things we say.
Who? Yeah. What? Somebody complained?
No, yeah. Originally. Remember? That's why we got booted off to replay?
Oh, for Christ. All right, yeah.
We got booted off. It wasn't even a sponsor. It was somebody who cried to the sponsor that we might offend somebody.
Oh,
we're
going
to offend somebody. It's internet radio. Come on, Canada. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Really, there's plenty of great ass stories to be had.
That's right.
Well, we're not on Hawk anymore right now, but we will be back.
Okay, we'll be back.
I'll replay.
We're going from the great white north to the deep brown south.
That's a great way to close that off, Joe.
So even though I was so embarrassed that I was,
so that's a great way to close that off, Joe. So that's a great way to close. I think we spent enough time on your ass.
Let the cheeks close on.
Turn
this
the
one.
Other cheek, stupid.
You know, but this is the great and bizarre thing about having a podcast is that you
this is the worst thing I've ever thought about having the podcast.
No,
this is my worst night ever with
the
podcast.
The worst.
I wish you guys were eating gefilte fish juice again.
You go through our heart.
Your eyes were hilarious. I saw the white of Kong's eyes. The monkey might be human.
Kong, that's so funny. I hope you're not doing that. It just kills me every time you say that.
You go through a horrible experience, and I was like crying. I was so embarrassed, and I brought it to the show. So that's I took one for the team.
Good.
Literally twice.
Well, there you
God.
Go.
Joe, do you have anything? Less ass related to share, or can we move on?
Or more
I felt like I felt like a prick this weekend.
Well, it's better than feeling like an asshole. We've had enough of that.
But no, I was working up in Hartford this weekend. It was my anniversary this weekend.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. And it was your happy anniversary to you, sir. It was yours on Sunday.
And mine on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday? Okay, beg your pardon. Mine on Friday, right. I really felt bad. I had to take this gig working up in Hartford because basically getting in this club lately has been tough to get in. And I had to take the gig. And when I took it, instead of telling my wife a couple of weeks ago, I really needed this gig and we need to get the money and this, that, and the other thing, I told her that I forgot it was our anniversary this week. Ooh. And I thought it was the next week. Oops. And as the words escaped my mouth, I wished there was a net I could have scooped them up.
Real Dice is on fire. He goes, brown eye ointment. That's funny. That would be a good name for somebody.
Brown eye ointment.
For like this show.
That's
a great screen.
Give it the old brown eye.
Brown eye ointment.
In this next clip, Joe Curry winds up where he would often wind up during the history of this show. This might have been his first time in this location. Joe wound up in the barrel for a horrible decision that his band made to wear t-shirts that made them look like douchebags. But Joe tries to defend it like a good little keyboardist would, But between me and my board guy at the day, Adam, we just killed Joe.
All right. So now Sunday, we're headlining the Stone Pony.
We're headlining the Stone
we're
Pony.
Bruce has made it famous.
Yes.
Lots of big stars have been there.
Yes.
We're shooting a music video.
Yes.
Is this complete with 80s special effects?
No, no, no. There was no smoke machines or any of that stuff.
Johnny Race must have been very upset.
Yes, he was. Johnny Race needs smoke.
So how did the set go?
It went well. It went pretty well.
Very well received, headline spot?
Yes, well received. Invited back. We got invited back.
Now, wait, before we move on, I do have to talk about this this little show of yours.
Yes.
I'm very happy that Michael McClinton's Full Circle's doing these things.
Yes.
Getting good gigs.
Yes.
You guys were dressed like douchebags.
What do you mean?
All right. You people need to go to the Davin's Den Facebook page and see what our pal Joe was wearing. Really, it's called Jersey Royalty. That was the sponsor. Were you guys supposed to be like Paulie Dean, the situation in 30 years from now? What the hell were you... Go to the page. What the hell were you wearing?
We're on a Jersey Shore. You have to dress like the natives.
No, the natives don't wear that. Those are the natives that stand in the corner and don't get laid. Wearing the crap you were wearing.
What'd you do? Put on lip gloss and, you know, get a fake tan?
It would have been a help. You guys look like a rock and roll retirement community wearing that stuff.
No, we don't. Those shirts look cool.
No, they don't, and you don't believe it, and you're lying to the audience to stick up for the sponsor. Stop it.
I can see your eyes. You're not even looking in Davin's eyes when you said that.
Let me tell you.
Look in Davin's eyes. Love.
Black ass, mister. Let me tell you something. If you're a teenager, you can pull off the Jersey Royalty t-shirt.
Okay.
I'm not saying you can't. When you're as old as you bunch of mooks. And there's pictures. There's this one picture with Joe's smoking a cigarette, and I guess one of his little bandmates is grinding him up next to him. Really? Did he just finish you off and you're smoking?
Yep.
Usually in these boy bands, there's at least one straight guy. I couldn't find one in the group.
Really? Why are you so upset?
Because I expect better.
Really? Have you seen your rack? You don't shoot for the stars.
No, but I get people lap dances and I give people underwear.
Mm.
Well, I can't believe what you were wearing.
It looked all right.
No, it didn't. Say it like you mean it, Joe. Come on. Pretend like when you tell your wife you love her. Say it like you mean it. Now, I did notice everybody...
Stop reading off the piece of paper ranting.
No, I just took notes about it.
Reading in class.
I took notes on this. It was awful.
You took notes? You actually sat down with pen and paper jotted bullet points?
I see train wrecks, I take notes. There's this one page where all the...
There should be a big volume on your act.
You're in the barrel now.
I gotta try to claw out.
Adam, did you see the picture of the whole boy band? Oh. They're wearing their cute little shirts, and they all got their hands in.
I'm about to do it right now.
All right, guys, everybody hands in. We're going to blow some fellas here tonight.
Okay, everyone, hands in. We're going to do it.
Remember, fellas, tickle the balls. That's what Jersey Royalty would want. Really? What a team of D-bags you guys were. I love you guys. I love you. I love McClinton. But, yeah, Lance Bass looked at you guys and goes, wow, those guys are really gay. Justin Bieber goes, wow, I am more manly than these D-bags right now. Are you kidding me?
You're a horrible man.
And he's like...
Those shirts look nice.
No, they don't. You all took them off. Hey, you all took them off for the big gig except for you. You tried to cover it with the button open. You don't see when the guy's rocking out for their other pictures wearing the shirt. They took that off as quickly as possible. Not Joe. It's a free t-shirt. Who knows when this is going to happen
again? You're damn right.
Oh,
wear it with pride.
How does he convince you to put that...
I'm a Jersey King, Norton. That's what I am, Norton.
How does he convince you to put that on? What is the move?
Wear this.
Really?
Yeah.
I tell you to...
this photo.
Again, everybody, go to the Davin's Den Facebook page. We'd love your comments on Joe's probably lowest moment.
Half these guys look so old, looks like they pulled a shoulder when they put their hands in. Let's put our hands in.
It's like the Backstreet Boys in 30 years from now. It's terrible.
I think it looks great.
No, you don't.
And so does Adam. Adam, smile in there.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah.
He forced you to do this.
He didn't force me. I did it free of will.
You're gay.
I'm not gay.
And you're not gay like in the cool homosexual gay. You're in the gay and I make really bad decisions and 16-year-olds post crap about you on Facebook saying bad things about you.
Did you see our drummer? Our drummer wore the really short shorts, these blue short shorts and a tank top.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you guys?
Oh, it's funny, though.
When Firehouse looks at this band and goes, you know, we dress better than them, there's a problem.
Okay. Why don't you dress us?
everybody gets cowboy hats.
Well, yeah, well, little cowboy hats and the
here's the thing. Here's the thing, Joe. When I dress as a D-bag, and I'm not saying I don't dress as a D-bag.
Oh, good, yeah.
When I dress as a D-bag, I don't have a team of other D-bags behind me. I do it solo. I don't try to be a little unit and a little team. All right, guys, all the big guys are going to kick our asses. Let's form a big chain like Voltron. We'll fight them off together. Really?
See, luckily, Joe was smart and decided not to put his face in that photo. His head is blocked out, so.
Oh, you got to see the photo with Joe smoking a cigarette and the other bandmate grinding up against him.
Oh, I think that one's in here.
Oh, yeah, that is up there.
As luck would have it.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
Could Joe look any gayer? Joe looks like he's just satisfied a man, and the man's coming back for more.
The guy standing next to him with doing, like, the weird fist pump. I don't know, that's kind of...
Well, that's because Joe was bent over before that fist pump. All right, Joe. All right, Joe, I'll let you out of the barrel.
Oh, thank you,
so much. You took your beating like a champ.
And I'd like the Jersey King shirts rule.
Jersey Royalty, stupid. That's the sponsor.
Oh, Jersey Royalty.
That's what it says. Is it Jersey King? Is that the company?
It's Jersey Royalty. Or Jersey,
that's what
Jersey Kings. Jersey Kings.
Really? What's the matter? The Chess King went out of business and Mike had to go shopping someplace?
I don't know. Why are you looking at me like so serious, like this is about the economy? Look at you. Dun, dun, dun. Don't you realize
friend.
What this
Let
means?
Me tell you, my friend. I am
Don't do the newspaper thing with your papers
I am sending these pictures over to Anthony Cumia so they can have as much fun at your expense on Opie and Anthony in front of a slightly larger audience than we have.
Hey, any good promotion is good promotion.
Yeah, okay, Confucius. But you know what? Here's the thing. There's other shirts in the news. Did you hear this? This came out this morning.
During this next clip, we discover why Anthony could not get back to us sooner with an answer whether we would be doing a show at the compound, because it appears he got diverted with a foray on a Sunday into hand job videos. So we discussed that. Now, this was while we were still on terrestrial radio, so we had to keep this subject matter clean. So it's kind of interesting to listen to us dance around it as opposed to the filthy animals we would probably be now. If we did it.
Absolutely. If you want to call in later on, the number is 1-877-YO-ANTHONY or 1-877-962-6846. Of course, you can instant message us on the live stream page. You could go to the Davin's Den Facebook page and look at old radio, listen to old radio shows. You can go to this webpage that you're on right now.
All right, you're confusing them now.
I'm not confusing.
Right, then do this. Then stand on 1 foot, do the hippity hop, turn west, and then you'll get the show.
Right. All right. And that, of course, is Joe Curry, or the kids like to call him the Santa Claus imposter.
Ah, yes, starting with the Santa Claus.
Sitting over in the corner drinking, I believe, a non-alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, right, really?
Well, I believe an alcoholic beverage through a double straw.
Yes.
The chief engineer of the compound and lead singer of the band Rotgut.
Ah, I remember that.
Anthony Cumia.
Yes.
So we got a lot of fun tonight. We're going to be finding out whether yoga is satanic.
Mm-hmm.
And also if little Adolf Hitler's parents, they lost more kids. So we're going to talk about that. But first... Aww. People ask, how come you're not on the compound every week? There's a lot of reasons. First of all, Joe and I got to figure out if we can get to the compound. We are also bound by TBQ to be doing shows every Thursday night. So that means from 6 to 8, so that means we have to be there. Plus, we also have to check with our host, Anthony, to find out if he's around. Now, Anthony and Joe have been friends for a very long time. So usually the process goes, Joe and I go over our calendar, see if we can actually make it. Then Joe texts Anthony, and within a day or two, we get a yay or a nay. We decided last week that we would like to be at the compound this week. So Joe texted Anthony in the middle of the week, and Joe and I were talking over Thanksgiving weekend, and Anthony was still MIA. And Joe goes to him, maybe he went on vacation.
A little vacation in California.
I go, okay, well, that's cool. That's understandable. It's a holiday weekend. Joe and I say, you know, if we don't hear by Monday, no big deal. So Joe gets a text on Monday morning. What was going on around the time? What was Anthony doing while the texting?
Well, I was on, you know.
What was Anthony doing while he was texting you?
Doesn't
he have a little show at that time that he's supposed to be paying attention to?
Oh, yes. And he texted the little rinky-dink show that he was doing.
That little Opie and Anthony show that you can hear on Sirius XM. And Anthony got it back to us on Monday morning. And why couldn't he get back to you sooner, Joe, and keep it clean?
Well, apparently he was having a problem playing, what was it, Call of Duty?
Call of Duty, yes. Okay. Modern Warfare 3.
Okay, and?
Yeah.
And basically he was...
keep
he
it clean.
Went, he went onto a website to find out how to get access to see to fix the problem. And apparently he must have asked that he needed a hand. And...
And when well you, done, sir.
When you go into a search engine, a lot of other things come up that that people have gotten a hand with and might preoccupy your time. If I remember correctly, what was it, about 5 hours of your time?
It was indeed 5 hours. I was on a certain website that may have been a little more erotic than it should have been for trying to get Call of Duty to work on my Xbox.
Mute me.
Okay.
They're having a problem over a TBQ.
Oh, no.
Yes, of course. So.
Right.
Jeez.
Oopsie-daisy.
This is what happens on live. There we go. Let me see what their problem is.
So, yes, and you were preoccupied on that website.
Yeah. I couldn't get off of that website.
Well, apparently you did, but...
I always said, no matter what you look for on the internet, you will always... get yourself to the lowest common denominator, which is porn.
Yes.
So it was a porn website, and you're always only two or three clicks away from porn, no matter what you're trying to legitimately get information on. Two clicks later, you're like, wow, look at that. it's a long neck Bud bottle.
And she's not drinking it.
Yeah. Or she could be.
She could be drinking it, yes. Yes, I found that one time there was at work, one job that I had, a woman went on to wanted to get a cake recipe, and Betty Crocker had the tape, the cake recipe, and she typed in Betty Crocker. Unfortunately, she left the R off.
That'll do it.
So there was a whole interesting
what's
array
going on
of things.
Yeah, that will do it.
No, I don't think so.
So
is he coming through?
Yes, he is coming through.
Oh, okay.
It says, that, hey, guys, fellas, says there's a loop.
There's a loop.
A loop?
A loop.
It's gone now. Are we good now? Can we go back to this little show?
Loop.
Oh, thank you, sir. All right. Thank you, Rich. Bye-bye.
We're back.
Are
stupid
you good?
Stupid live radio. No, I'm not good. Ask the people. They'll tell you.
What happened there?
I don't know. It said it was on a loop. I don't even know what the heck that means.
It was going around.
Oh, originally... it might have been the old thing that was playing before we went live.
Ah.
Oh.
I get it. Yes, technical jargon.
am I unmuted, Joe?
Should be.
Is that the little mute button there?
No, that one's, I unmuted all the mics.
Oh, good.
See, now my feeling is that since Joe, how long have you guys been for, 15 years?
Oh my God, longer than that.
15 years.
20 years?
30. Over 35 years.
My feeling is you wanted to get back to Joe quicker than you did. You wanted to. Especially
true.
On Sunday. But your fingers were in such a gnarled position that there was no way you could actually text Joe. That's what I'm going with.
It was a little carpal tunnel.
That's what it was. You saw your pal was short, because I know he tried to get for you several times. And I know you wanted to get back to him.
Well, I didn't want to. Yeah, I didn't want to pester. It's a holiday weekend. You know?
Sure, he was away on vacation or watching women give hand treats for 3 hours.
That could be a vacation.
Now I will tell you this, Anthony: your stamina of 3 hours of watching that is remarkable, sir.
It really was. It was more fascination than you know. You go to some
fascination.
You do. You go to some smutty sites sometimes.
Yes.
And it's there for the smut value and what you know you do with smut. Normally.
Right.
But then other times you're just like, I'm fascinated by this.
You were admiring the artistry of the technique.
Artistry of technique, the length of time that is spent on it. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it's 2 seconds.
Not so much.
It's just amazing.
If only you could be there before they started filming, it might give you, you know, some knowledge into why some are quicker than others.
Maybe. I was fascinated with it, and to this day, my Xbox still does not work.
What happened with it? You and Danny were running it?
Me and Danny were trying to do a... he was going to play downstairs here in the theater room.
Right.
And I was going to play upstairs. And he...
You guys 12?
You guys can't even play in the same room
together? I know.
Smokes!
And he turned on the Xbox down here, and everything just went kablooey.
This is what Peter Pan would be like in the 21st century.
Yeah,
that's what Anthony is. Anthony is Peter Pan without the tights.
Well, I just had to text Ange, who is my like personal assistant. She takes care of all the stuff around the house. And she was here today decorating with the Christmas and supervising the maids and whatnot.
Well, sure, the people you have working for you.
Of course, my people.
I understand.
I'm sorry, the way you said supervising the maids, when I decorate my house, the star's trucking. Don't get on a ladder. Don't
worry. When you decorate your house, Joanne's supervising you. That's you're
true.
Not in a supervisory position.
No, I just put the major. I don't even put the major. I don't know where baby Jesus is. I put him in the little box last year.
What do you mean you don't know where baby Jesus is?
I don't know.
He's
sometimes
in the barn.
I lose baby Jesus, and sometimes the wise men, they show up. The kid's not there. Sometimes my cat.
Wait, is there a hostage situation?
No, but when I used to have a cat, the cat would go up to the manger and swat baby Jesus all around the kitchen floor.
Oh, dear Lord.
And that doesn't sound very Christian
of
you.
My wife would freak out. The cat's swiping off sleeker all around the kitchen.
Would you wrap him in catnip?
No, the cat was curious. You see a little baby in a swat?
His claws stuck on the swaddling clothes.
Yeah. Swaddling. What are swaddling clothes?
I don't know, but they look comfy.
Swaddling clothes. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to explain
this.
Oh. Are clothes
well,
that
go
you
to
wrap
the Jew to explain swaddling clothes.
No, I have a kid. I procreate.
But what is swaddling?
I was trying to explain.
All right.
It's you wrap your baby around it to keep it warm. You wrap him. Like, so you go over and then you go underneath and he's like a little egg roll. An egg roll for kids.
Oh.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. Yeah. Deep frying must hurt.
Not as much as you think. The Jack Daniels kind of numbs the screaming.
Whatever it takes.
So speaking of the holidays, you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
This next story is about a man named Patrick M. Bates. Yes, that's his name. And yes, he did. And it was followed up by a very funny song by my pal and comedian and musician, Darryl Rhodes, Up to Your Knuckles in Love.
There's a way to get back in his good graces. You might have to be a team player.
You're going to have to take one for the team.
Take one for the team. If you do it twice, you're still getting the same gift.
But do you have to take one from the team? That's the question.
Well, here's the captain. Next thing you know, Nick Swisher's trotting up with his stupid... Yeah, but here's the thing. Nick Swisher would trot up to the quote-unquote plate, and if it was the playoffs, you know he wouldn't deliver. He would just stand there and look at it. I don't know what to do with this.
No, that's not true.
A-Rod would take a swing at it, but be disappointing. Everybody else would be booing him.
Oh, please. He'd be totally choking.
Just give me a couple more minutes.
Yeah. Hold on. I got to go eat a sandwich or something. Take a short nap, and I'll be right with you.
Now, you know there are people that can handle their own business.
Their own business in what way?
Where they don't need to do what Derek Jeter does and have these ladies come to their house.
Yeah.
There is a gentleman in Pennsylvania. His name is Patrick M. Bates. Patrick M. Bates. And he was originally arrested.
No.
For living up to his name.
No, that's got to be a joke.
It happened last week in Rensselaerville, Pennsylvania, I believe. He's 23. First, he grabbed a woman in the tushy.
Where did this happen? In public?
Rensselaerville. Yeah, well, yeah. Rensselaerville, yeah, that's what he got arrested for.
Oh, okay.
For living up to his name in public.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Rensselaerville man is charged with forcibly touching a woman and pleasuring in front of another.
Oh, gross,
you know,
gross.
Why not do all for one? Why do you got to get two women involved?
I know. Can you do both with one person?
Maybe that's why you're like Jeter. You need a team. But he's not a team player. He goes fungo. He's hitting fungos, if you will. So his name is M. Listen, man, if you're that name, you don't have to do it. That's like if your last name is Rapist.
Yes, you know? It's all here, my calling card. That's all you need.
Sir Rapist, yes, you are.
No, not Sir.
No, get class of that. No, but what are his parents thinking by making his middle initial M?
You know, really, really poorly
thought
out.
Because, I mean, listen, and as a kid, you know, when you get to be a certain age, you're Mister, but before that, you're Master.
Yeah.
That's true. So, like if your teacher calls on you, you know,
it's like, excuse me, master. Oh my!
All the other kids are giggling. You're like, when I get old enough, I'm going to touch her in the tush.
He's overcompensating because of that horrible, horrible plague that he's been given his whole life. Oh, that's terrible.
So once in a while, you know, fortunately, we have a lot of talented friends. We've been in the entertainment business for a long time. Once in a while, something just rises above the next level. My pal, Darryl Rhodes, he's a comedian and a musician. He sent us this song, which I think is hilarious. It's been played on the radio in Atlanta. It's called Up to My Knuckles in Love. Mr. Ball, if you would.
Ah, welcome to the Rosie Palm Lounge at the Deep Six Inn. Right now, I'd like to take you back to 1958. A little song that did very well for me. I'm up to my knuckles in love. When you look up at me, I can't resist. Like a cockeyed gorilla, in the mist, and I'm a dictator ruling with an iron fist. When I'm up to my knuckles in love, I'm spanking the prank, I'm slapping the dog, jerking the gherkin, flogging the log, firming the worm, I'm pounding the pud. When I'm up to my knuckles in love, I'm up to my knuckles against the turnbuckles. Got a chokehold on my down low, a solo on my oboe, like Michelangelo painting the ceiling above. I'm up to my knuckles in love. Oh, it sounds so sweet. A tussle with a muscle, I go another round. Just another beat down on the one-eyed clown. A memoriam crematorium that fits like a glove when I'm up to my knuckles in love. I'm banging the burrito, manning the torpedo. The best word to use here must be libido, and it's the first word that I'm thinking of when I'm up to my knuckles in love. I'm slamming the salami, popping the bologna. I'm on the road, and when I get lonely, it's your face that I'm thinking of when I'm up to my knuckles in love. I'll doodle the noodle and whack in the weasel. I'm using my digits to mangle the midget. You know things get hard and push comes to shove when I'm up to my knuckles in love.
That was awesome. Oh. You know John Tesh is going to be playing that.
Absolutely stealing that material.
That is the that's the New York debut, the whole state. That's only been played in Atlanta.
Oh, that's great.
You know what? I get a lot of these things across the desk, the dining room table where the cats hang out. Yeah. And, you know, some are better than others, but the production.
That was great.
Daryl Rose just did a tremendous – all euphemisms, all completely clean.
Oh, hilarious.
If you would like to download that, you can go – it's Daryl Rhodes. It's Daryl and then Rhodes, R-H-O-A-D-E-E-D-E-S, excuse me. You go to download it at cdbaby.com, or you can check out Daryl's website. Daryl's a touring comedian, and everybody who listens to the show knows I don't usually plug a bunch of stuff. But check this out. It's music-comedy.com.
Next up, we have the debut of the game Boozy or Floozy. That was a game where you had to determine if something was the name for a drink or for a sexual act. And the punishment was, if you got it wrong, you had to drink gefilte fish juice shots. Now, we did this with Joe Curry, Pip Helix, and our pal, current military man and Afghan war veteran Joe Padula. I think we might have made Joe more uncomfortable and scared during this particular game than he ever was in Afghanistan, but I thought it was just awesome.
I wish Ustream was working.
Yeah. Is Ustream not recording now?
No, it's recording. I meant the visual.
What are you
going to
do?
Well, you're hooking up. I want a visual.
All right. So first, we're going to do Boozy or Floozy without Ann. I think that's the move. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do
you guys
that.
Agree?
Yeah.
I don't know where he is. But that's okay. First, everybody take a shot glass. Joe, I'm actually going to switch with you. I'm going to do a model. Doesn't matter. There's no camera. Sit right there. I'll leave the music.
Get ready as we play Boozy or Floozy.
No, halfway.
I'm sorry, you had to explain your jingle to me.
He dedicated that to
usually, usually I'm on board with Joe. I'm like, I just tell Joe this is the feel I'm going for. Go do it. I don't check him or anything on it. Also, I'm hearing hominy. I'm like, what the fuck?
There is a point to it.
There is a point to it. First, let me explain. Okay, all right. Now that I got it, I redeemed myself. All right.
Well,
that
maybe.
Was good. That was actually good. I had to, like, mouth to Davin one that was appropriate.
I don't understand. Maybe put them in the Nazi bit.
That's what we usually do. Let's talk about bejazzling. All right, boozy or floozy? Here's the premise of the game. There are... You have a floozy Nagila. Really, Funny Pat?
That's nice.
Listen, I'm enough Nagilas, I'll get that floozy on her back. Don't you worry. So here's it. You know how there's like a lot of drinks and sexual things that sound the same? Like a flaming orgasm, sex on the beach. You know, the obvious ones.
Yeah.
And everything. So there's a lot of drinks that sound like sex acts. And there's a lot of sex acts where the slang is actually like a drink. You know, it sounds like a drink. So you never really know if it's about drinking or whoring, boozy or floozy.
Ta-da!
So you guys, so I will give the name of what the thing is, and you have to guess whether it's, everybody has to guess whether it's a boozy or a floozy. Now, if you guess right, you have the opportunity to go for bonus points. Bonus points would be if you can guess either the sexual act. It could just be sex, or it could be something a little bit more kinky, a little freaky, or a sexual or part. Or if it's a drink, you have to name the ingredients in the drink for bonus points. Now, if you get a question wrong, you guys are doing gefilte fish shots, gefilte fish juice shots.
I told you, now
if I ask a question and all three of you guys get it, right, I do the gefilte fish shot. So now on the bonus, here's the thing. For the extra point, you can pick somebody who did not get it right to fucking do the shot.
Man, this is a mean game.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you get it wrong on the bonus, you gotta do a shot. So you really gotta fucking decide if it's worth it. I need a pen. Do we have a pen here?
Yeah.
Tip, let me thank you.
You know,
I'll show everybody the gefilte fish gel. Hold on. I'll show the in-studio crew. This is really something we wanted to do on the video. This is really something we wanted to show Ant, but you know what? Whatever.
Yeah, because I'm sure this is the most repulsive thing we're ever going to see.
Well, they've seen us every week.
Yeah. Does it stink?
Nah, I'm fine.
Let's talk about the show.
There you go. I had gefilte fish today. Gefilte fish is fine. You look sick, Joe.
Yeah.
Perfect. You fucking sign. Hey, we're not disgracing the uniform.
No, absolutely.
Oh, that is so nasty. By the way, the people on Ustream, yes, we know that you can't see us visually. We're sorry. We're having technical issues.
Thank you. So you can just
thank your lucky stars, because that is the nastiest container of filth I've ever seen.
Yeah, but guys, we're sorry. Thank you guys for hanging out.
Yeah.
The feed's down. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
The king of the compound is out frolicking somewhere. I don't know where he is, but you know, he was nice enough to let us play in his joint. So,
whee!
So that's the deal. We apologize, guys. This would have really been good visually, but not while you're eating dinner. Let me just tell everybody that everybody who I told this to what my premise was, and I didn't tell. Well, they kind of had an idea. You just found out. Even my wife has said, I'm going to gag stuff.
I just couldn't even listen. You know what? Where are those paper towels? Because I swear to God.
You know what? Go get yourself some paper towels.
Yeah.
Is there a bucket around here?
Yeah. Oh, we better have one ready just in case, right? This is nasty. Hang on a second.
Don't get any wrong.
Don't
get any wrong, stupid.
Hang on a second, everybody. I got to step back.
Where are you going?
We're
going to ruin the compound.
We're going to ruin this place.
See if they got it made up there,
This will be the worst fish that stinks in this joint.
Yeah, really. And that's when you swallowed a butterfly.
I did. Dude, that was horrible. I'm a little kid. Can you imagine? I've also had gnats in my ears. Have you ever heard that? Why are you laughing at that?
That's funny.
You're a horrible human being.
Stupid with gnats in his ears.
And that's just what they call it.
That's probably
little stupid.
Little stupid.
No, because you know, like you're playing ball or something, you're a kid, and the fucking gnat goes in your ear, and it doesn't know to come out the way it went in, so it just goes fucking deeper and deeper, and you try to get it in, and you fucking push it in. Next thing you know, you're in the emergency room with tweezers in your ear. What are you, having a movement?
Oh, no, it's just horrible.
Okay. Get the bucket.
Get the bucket.
Where the hell is Pip?
I'm trying to find a bucket.
All right, Pip, if you can't find it, get your ass back here.
Yay!
Well, we know you know where the barrel is. We could use that, too, if not. All right, nobody spit on the equipment, all right? You really shouldn't vomit from this shit. It's edible. I mean, other people have tasers and they shock your nuts when you get shit wrong. I think I was being jealous.
There were paper towels in here.
All right. Here we go. You guys ready? Everybody ready?
Hang on one second. There were paper towels in here.
Yeah, we're going to have to pour the shots over the bucket, too. We want to get the fish all over the stuff.
We don't want the whole place to smell like an aquarium.
Well.
Hey. I showered.
Certain weekends.
I believe one of those weekends is coming up. Fireworks and Tang. It's an American tradition.
Now,
what are you looking for? I want to start this fucking bit.
I know, I know.
Deal price you got.
I'm looking.
Holy shit! What is that, the traveling horn?
Yes, it is. And
when the whole horn can't fit in the car, it goes in the purse.
When Monty Hall calls.
Really? Really, little fucking tissues like that's going to do anything with the shit you're going to spew?
No, no, listen.
We're going to make an American hero vomit. Do you know how proud I am?
I am. Where, you know,
I'm not talking about you, Joe.
Do you want one of these done because you want to wipe off your mouth? Because, oh, my God.
Thank you.
No, no problem.
Are we ready?
I always have Kleenex around, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. It is very viscousy.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Sort of.
The first one. And I took five of these and a bonus one if there's a tie.
Five, Jesus.
Three-legged monkey. Joe, you're the guest. Padula, you go first. Boozy or floozy?
Three-legged monkey. All right, can I smell the thing first?
No, no, don't want, you'll smell it soon enough.
Oh, you really don't want to smell it.
You'll be fine.
A three-legged monkey...
Just be smart.
...is...
Use the force.
Sounds such like a sex book, but I'm going to have to go with it. It's drink.
Is that what your guess is? Boozy.
That's my guess, boozy.
Pipelix, boozy or floozy?
I'm thinking floozy. I'm thinking that's some kind of sex position. But I don't know what.
You're thinking floozy.
I'm thinking floozy.
Joe Curry, boozy or floozy?
I'm thinking floozy.
So we have Joe Padula with boozy. Joe Curry with floozy. Pip Helix with floozy. Well, Joe, you're the guest, so watch these two motherfuckers do a shot.
Ah!
It is a drink!
Oh, God!
Yum, yum, kids!
Oh, mommy!
USA! USA! Pip, give me your...
It smells like a filthy sex.
Halfway, motherfucker. Wait, do whatever the fuck it says. It doesn't smell like fish in here.
Well,
okay.
I'm connected.
All right. I know. I'm holding the bucket. Oh, God. I'm going to keep just looking at it.
Just a picture of this.
Oh.
There we go. That's a good one. Oh, that's so gross.
That is so disgusting.
I got a little girl filled with fish chunk. Hold on. Wait for Joe.
Oh, God. I can't even. Oh, I can't even.
We're going to have to clean up after.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, make sure it's over the bucket. Don't.
Yeah, good thing there was a mop in there.
It looks like clam estrogen.
If that's the case, it would explode in a Korean woman's mouth.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Before you drink this, Joe Curry made a rule. I forgot on the ride in. You have before you take a shot. You have. To
oh
say,
yes.
You have
yes.
to say your a cheers of some sort.
I'll do an
if you forget, you do another shot.
Right.
So I reminded you on that one. Because it would have been wrong if I
fight these two over.
Of your own ethnicity or any ethnicity?
Very funny.
Your ethnicity. So pick one of your Irish, right?
Yeah.
So take some from Irish. Joe, what are you?
Italian.
All right. Bottom ups, kids.
Okay. I have to think of I can't think of anything that you say when you're drinking. I'm blanking because it smells.
Well, then you're going to be taking a fucking bonus shot, aren't you?
Wait. I can't think of anything because it smells so foul.
Ten?
Wait. No!
Eight, seven, six, five, bonus shot.
Schlanta.
What is it?
Schlanta.
Is that Irish?
Yeah. Gaelic.
Sounds Jewish. Yeah, all right. Joe? All
right. Salut.
All right.
Swallow it. Joe took it like a champ.
It's actually good.
Oh, fuck. The game's ruined.
That is so disgusting.
That's the reaction. Matt, hurry, wait till I have another. Oh, that's fucking fantastic.
That is so disgusting.
Well, then, Pip, you better not lose anymore. So now the question is, now hold on. Joe Padula.
I am going to puke by the end of this.
Wow. Joe Padula is in the lead with one. Now, Joe. Joe Padula, I'm sorry. JP, you have the opportunity, if you feel like you know this drink, to go for a bonus point and pick one of these two to do a shot. Now realize, if you don't know the drink and you get it wrong, you do a shot.
Okay, I do not know this drink.
Okay, then you're fine.
Then
you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're up 1-0, sir. Up 1-0.
Can you tell us what's in it?
If you'd like to know, absolutely.
Yeah, oh yeah, it sounds like a good drink.
Good filled with fish juice. It's got 1 ounce of Crown Royal Canadian Whiskey, 1 ounce Amaretto Almond Liqueur, 1 ounce pineapple juice.
Three-legged monkey.
She thought it was a sex position. Funny pass, I gave him a horseradish chaser.
I have no idea.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
how do you spell good filter fish.
G-E-F-I-L-T-E. All right. We're gonna lead off with Pip. We'll work our way around the room. So go Pip, Curry, Padula. You ready? Pip?
No.
Too fucking bad. You ready? Yep. Horizontal refreshment. Well, Pip's got to go first.
I'm thinking.
I can tell.
I'm terrified.
That's what you should be. Fucking awesome. I rule. This is what I do on my trips to Michigan. You should be happy I travel.
Horizontal refreshment.
We all happy you travel.
No joke.
I'm gonna
I love it.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to fucking kill Pip Helix tonight.
Oh, I'm going to barf. I'm going to say that's sex.
All right.
But floozy.
Well, yes, floozy. Joe Curry.
I go floozy.
I'm going to, because they have the word refreshment in it,
mm-hmm.
Because of that alone, horizontal, I was thinking right away.
Horizontal.
But I'm going boozy.
You're going boozy on this one. Well, the United States doesn't win every fucking war.
Oh, thank God!
Joe Padula, bring that shot glass up here and have some gefilte.
Oh, my God. Now, should we take a picture of you for your friends?
Yeah,
over the bucket.
Why
is there chunks in it?
Oh, that's the nastiest
fish.
Part.
It's the fishies.
Oh.
A little off for you.
Don't do it. Don't hand it to him over the board.
Yeah, God. You, yeah.
God.
Go ahead. Can't be worse than an MRE.
Yeah,
that's fucking funny, Joe.
Yeah, good. It could.
Oh, shit. All right.
I got more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
All right. So I hope that was taken.
No, you can use it.
Use it again.
You can use it again.
So, Jindan.
Jindan. All
right. Oh!
Fucking great.
I know. You got to drink something afterwards because it's so nasty.
Now.
It's got texture.
Yes, it does. It's
yes,
viscousy.
Yes, it does.
Viscousy is never a good word in a drink.
No.
You know?
All right. Now, Pip and Joe Curry, because you got it right,
yeah.
You can go for the bonus. You guys know it's a floozy, so you know it's a sexual act. You can guess what that is for the bonus point. If you get it right, then you can make Joe Padula do a shot. If you both get it right, both get the same thing. Joe could potentially do two more shots. You can each get one more point, or you could pass on. Right now, you're tied in the dead heat at one. Now, remember, if nobody wins, this has all got to get finished.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
No, I will not.
I think you two can guess it.
You really want to do that?
Can they collaborate?
No. Each one gets their own answer. Each one gets, like, everything. But you realize each time they get it right, if they get it right, you're fucking doing those two shots.
But if they get it wrong.
Then they're each doing a shot.
Yeah, oh. You guys can try it.
What if you don't want to do this bonus round?
You don't have to. But that's why it's a bonus.
I don't.
You're passing.
I'm Joe
Curry.
I'm passing.
Ah, you pussies.
Hey,
yeah. Yes.
All right.
Totally not.
Horizontal refreshment. Sex.
Just sex.
That's gross.
No, hey, how would you like to have some horizontal refreshment? Yeah, just hold the rocks.
Oh, I just burped gefilte fish coke.
I can't wait till you fucking French kiss your husband tonight.
Now, there's nothing wrong with eating this stuff, right?
No, I eat gefilte fish earlier today. It's fine. And this is healthy, too. This
you
looks
mean,
like
you eat this?
I don't eat the gel. That's nasty.
Oh. I bring it to the show and have these idiots down.
Yeah, I know.
It pays to be a Jew.
Oh,
that's
God.
That's another bits for someday.
You had training. We're just like raw.
What brand of gefilte fish is it? It's Mrs. Adler's. Thank you for asking. Mrs. Adler's sweet recipe, kosher for Passover.
Can't pony up enough for Manischewitz.
That's what I got.
Jewish name.
Like
all right.
Mrs. Adler. Like
by O'Reilly's gefilte fish.
Like the brand would make it any better.
All right, now Joe Curry leads off on this one. Choice number three, Joe Curry. A Moscow Mule.
That would be Boozy.
Boozy by Joe Curry. Joe Padula?
Joe, did you guess or did you know that?
I guess.
Yeah. He's not going to fucking tell you. If he knows, why is he going to tell you?
There's some strategy here.
You asshole. He wants to win. Is that what you have the Afghanis? Are you going to put the bomb there? Or?
Sometimes
they tell you.
What's a Moscow?
Moscow Mule. Moscow Mule.
That sounds like a position to me.
So you're going...
Go with,
Floozy. Pip Helix, Boozy, or Floozy?
I'm going with Boozy.
Going with Boozy.
I don't know the. I don't know if that's true. I'm just guessing.
Going with Boozy. So we got two Boozies.
Boozy.
One Floozy.
I don't like them sticking together like this. You know?
You're fucked again.
Oh! Oh! God!
Back to back!
Joe, I'm so sorry! I'm so sorry, Joe.
Here, yes, you'll have another.
Please, sir, may have
another. More viscousy as we go.
At least this isn't alive.
I'd be puking in my rent-a-car.
God, I can't even look.
Ooh, I like
oh, God!
In another couple of days, we're going to be taking the first C-130 back to Afghanistan. Get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, oh, that's pretty cool.
That's yeah. Right. Don't kill the guy.
Don't complain the last time.
Nah, that's all right. Crazy.
No, no, no. Mine was pretty tall.
There we go. There we go.
There you go.
Make it's like, this is the one time you don't want your bartender to be generous.
Yeah.
Oh, God. How many more guesses? God. Oh, don't smell it. Don't smell it.
Get it on my fingers. It's like high school.
It smells like
that's a... funny.
Same texture, too.
You know, you got a lot of ground on there. I'll give you that one.
It smells like the back seats in a movie theater here.
A lot of
bang.
Oh,
God! Service, man.
USA!
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 So now...
Nice job, Joe. Oh, damn.
Curry and Pip each have two. Padula has one. Now, bonus round, kids.
Fuck you!
Nobody's playing the bonus?
No!
Pip's
going crazy in your head.
So what's in that one?
I have no idea what's in there.
Moscow Mule, 2 ounces of vodka.
I'm sorry.
Half an ounce of lime juice. Simple syrup. Ginger beer.
And what was the,
I would never know that.
What was the sex position? What was...
It was just sex. I said it could just be
straight
sex.
On missionary.
Sometimes it's just like it's slang, so it could just be sex.
Okay, alright.
Yeah, but I mean, like, these are impossible drinks. Like, how the hell would
CWE
you
radio,
simple syrup and, oh my god.
CWE
no.
Radio, this is worse than raw eggs in a glass.
This
goes down much worse.
Dude.
It's
not as viscousy.
Because... Not like liquid snot with fish chunks.
Yeah, it's like you clutch your chest as it wiggles down your throat. Trust me, this
what
is nasty.
The third one?
You lost fucking count?
I know, stupid.
Oh my god.
No, it's not the last
one. That's right. It's the last one.
No. Alright, this is our third, this is our next one.
How many more?
This is our fourth one coming up. We could do five or six.
No, not six. No.
Wait, while we're at the halfway point, what do you guys think of the game, Matt?
Oh, it's disgusting.
Is it a good game?
It's good to keep you on a diet.
I was going to
eat dinner when I got home.
Yeah, never going to eat again.
Yeah, but for the whole concept of Boozy or Floozy, it's pretty cool.
It's not at all good.
Yeah, it's like you haven't been on the receiving end.
Well,
okay,
now you get to go first.
All right.
Spider's Kiss.
Spider's Kiss, I'm going to have to go with a drink.
All right, is that
so
your guess?
It's going to be a Boozy.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm waiting for Pip.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't know we didn't know how to work a fucking circle.
I know. Telepathically.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if I don't directly acknowledge them, they're fucking lost.
No, you gotta look at the person and ask their name. Telepathically. They're like a lummox.
Yeah, they really do. All right, let's go, Pip.
I'm thinking Boozy.
What?
Boozy.
Boozy. All right, Joe Curry.
What was the definition again?
I'm not giving you the definition.
Not the definition, the name. The name.
Spider's Kiss.
Okay, that's Floozy.
That's Floozy. So we got a Boozy, and a Floozy.
Yeah.
We got a Loozy. Have a drink, Joe.
Oh!
But he likes this shit.
Yeah, I do a little more than that.
Over the bucket.
Come on, Joe, you love it. Drink, do all the fucking thing. Chug it, bitch. It's a good one. It's good when it plops like a duck.
God, I'm gonna barf.
Now here's the news, Joe. You fucking did not do your rule, so have another fucking shot.
God!
So now Pip has three.
Here's the thing. Now, do you guys want to guess? Because it was a floozy. Would you guys like bonus to make Joe drink some more? You can make him drink more. You could each make him do one more shot.
I will not do that.
I've seen the drink before. I've seen it. I know this one.
You know this one?
Yeah.
Here's what I'll do. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six. There's 6 ingredients in a spider's kiss.
6 ingredients.
6 ingredients. You give me 3.
Okay.
And I won't acknowledge until she gets a chance. So give me 3 out of 6.
No, I'm not. I'm totally not doing it. No, I have no idea what's in this drink. None.
Funny. Here it is. Recycled to fill the fizz jar. You're a terrible human being.
Oh. Then I'll guess 2 ingredients. You guess 1.
No. You can't work together.
Damn it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Damn it. I wanted to do it, but I
can't. He wanted to
make it. You want to try to guess 3, Pip? Because there's 6 ingredients.
I have. Not a clue. I'm sorry. I know that would be a great thing for you, but I just can't.
I appreciate you offering free, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
That was merciful.
Pip is leading 3-2, 2-2. We're at our 5th one.
Yeah.
The last one.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If there's a tie, you guys are all drinking this, but with the bonus, you guys can fucking unbreak the tie. So it's kind of interesting as we go down the wire. Now, Pip, if you get this right, they lose. And they got to finish this.
No, we're not finishing.
We're not finishing
that. That's a lot of
fine,
shit.
Fine, you just got to do 2 more shots. Fine. Yeah. Yes.
No, you know what? Why don't you take a drink?
Well, maybe you all got it fucking wrong. I mean, right? I would fucking take a drink. I said, I'm the one who does the fucking creative.
No.
You guys get it all right. I'll do a shot.
Joe, we have to write more.
You have to write. The sentence should be, we have to write.
Fair enough.
So Pip leads off on this one. She's leading 3-2. You're doing as well in this as you did in the orgasm thing, by the way.
I know.
You're doing great in this bit. Which is kind of a shame because you have the worst reaction to it.
What's the orgasm thing?
That was name that orgasm. That's where I gave different ethnicities.
Oh.
And like you heard the different orgasm, and you had to guess what ethnicity was. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but I did really well on that.
Joe is very good with the Asians, by the way. No.
Yeah, he
must be a
he
fan.
Was solid
a high pitch. It's a high pitch.
All right, Pip, you're leading off. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Jelly roll. So 2008. What the fuck does that mean? Nobody else is doing gefilte fish juice.
Oh my God, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, really.
I'm going to say floozy. I'm going to say floozy.
You're going to say floozy.
I think that's some kind of sex thing, but I don't know what it is.
Joe Curry?
I say floozy.
Joe Padula?
So floozy.
Right.
I want a tie.
Okay.
So I'm going to say floozy.
All right. You know, if we all guess.
Floozy.
And we
floozy.
Get it.
Right. But
we get it right. He has to drink.
But
you guys could strategize that way.
But if we all, break it up. Apart.
Well, this is the fucking last round.
I know.
So it really helps you, you know, you want to fucking win. Joe needs a little discourse.
I want at least tie. So we can at least force an overtime round or...
Absolutely, we have bonus.
Okay, right.
Okay. So you're going what, boozy?
Yeah.
You're going boozy, you two are going floozy.
Right.
Yeah.
And CWE Radio is going floozy.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's floozy.
What does that mean?
You!
Means you're drinking.
Drinking!
Should have been more convincing.
I'm sorry! I don't know the answers.
Means
I was
trying to sell you one. I'm trying to save my ass from drinking this
shit. I know, really. It's like, I'm sorry. He's never going to come back.
That's
all
right. No, competition's good.
Oh! Let's give you your
I'm getting the chills. Complete with
gefilte chunks. Oh, I'm getting the chills just watching other people drink it. This is so bad. Oh, God, there's...
I let that one fall.
There's like a clam hanging out the top of that shot glass.
Like clam. He's an American hero.
Oh, oh, God.
That's fucking great.
I'm going to spend the rest of the show mopping, you understand
that? Now I know why shows do stupid shit like this.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It's not Italian. Do better than that.
Throw a Mamma Mia in there. What stupid
kitchen. Yeah, there you go.
Fine.
That's Italian.
for the country.
Oh,
it gurgles!
Oh, very good, Joe.
Yeah, we got the girl. Oh, I don't know. There you go. So your winner, Pip Helix.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Joe Curry in second. Joe Padula in last. You know, it's good for Pip that she won.
I was just going to barf. It was definitely going to be retching sounds all over the planet tonight. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah, somebody wrote Joe Swallows.
That was, we have the control.
All right, now,
we have to get a hold of ourselves.
You like your name to that, sailor? All right, now we need the honest feedback. Get filter fish juice aside, because we can think of other punishments.
Filter fish juice. Come on, gang.
The actual game. Forget about what the punishment is. What do you guys think of the game? Because I need to know if we should bring this back.
I love the game. I can't stand the punishments.
What's the calories?
Just fucking purge like you're trying to drop weight and you'll be fine.
Pretend it's
he just flashed his pecs at me.
Yeah,
I think that's Joe's defense mechanism. His pecs start flaring.
I'm getting these shot glasses in this bucket out of here because I can't take it.
What do you think, Joe? You like the
game? I like it.
Joe Padula, what do you think?
I think it's a great concept. You know, I think maybe this is what we call an after action review.
All right, let's break it down.
We come up with some three positives and three negatives of the activity. And,
you got a burp in his face.
No, you don't.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can throw this out. Oh, actually, we should have made the loser. Yeah, I'm not going to
put it in a bag and get it out of his house.
I should make the loser drink more.
Put it in a seal bag, put it in a bag, and get it out of his house.
I will make sure.
Maybe you could do a shot of good faith.
No. No. I fucking write everything for this fucking show.
Right.
You know, when Stupid comes up with a game, I'll be happy to play.
Oh, boy, we drink the battery. Ask with the theory of
honestly, the gefilte fish thing was not added until, like, later on. Because I'm like, we do these games and there's, like, no punishment.
Well, thinking about it, that was your idea. I agree to it.
Yeah, I'm the head writer on this show.
No, it worked. And like you just said, you know, punishment for failure...
I'm just trying to help you guys become better people. I'm doing it for you. I got no pleasure out of that. Watching you drink that gefilte fish hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right, and it's going to hurt this chair after I shit myself.
Well, we'll be long out of here, and Anthony will find it at the compound party. I guess we'll pay for Scotch Guardy. Maybe he'll want that $80 back. All right, so that was that.
God damn. Can you guys hand me those shot glasses?
Yeah.
I gotta get this out of
me. Yeah, just rinse it with water.
Oh, no, I did.
With soap and battery acid.
Oh, tasty ideas. Oh, the chat's very involved tonight.
Yes.
Untasty.
How was the Ustream chat?
I wasn't actually watching.
Because you were gagging.
I was too busy gagging and cleaning.
We got a half an hour. Got a half an hour, guys.
I know, we'll be right back.
Yeah, hurry up. Actually, we don't need you. We'll start the story with that.
Yeah, I might want to leave the bucket.
Excuse me, I was just finishing my gefilte fish. I gotta tell you, I don't know what they're complaining about. Gefilte fish? Tasty treat? Tasty? The juice? Delightful. Bunch of wimps. That's what they all are. Up next, we had actor and comedian Adam Ferrara call into the show. And it was good to talk to Adam, a big star and celebrity. So this is how that went.
Before we get to the Britney mayhem, we're going to be joined by a man with three Comedy Central specials, a starring role in the feature films Definitely Maybe and Paul Blart Mall Cop, and he currently stars in the final season of FX's hit show Rescue Me, and is now filming the second season of the American version of Top Gear for the History Channel, the multi-talented Adam Ferrara.
That's right.
Hey, Adam,
how
you there?
How are you, fellas? You there?
We're there.
Dino's back. Hi, pal.
Hey, how are you, pal?
Good.
Well, people should probably know that you guys know each other. Joe grew up with Adam.
Yes, he's been my friend way before comedy.
And I actually worked with Adam once before. Adam doesn't realize this. He opened for me at Stand Up New York. And by opened, it was like an evening show, and he just had a slot earlier than me.
That's right. Yes.
But I watch Adam live there, and I've seen his specials, and he's hilarious. I remember the night when Adam was working. He came in like, you know, because this is years ago, but even then, 10 years ago, very established, top-notch guy. Everybody knows who Adam is. And Adam, he had a list of stuff he wanted to work on, and as usual, the audience were a bunch of derelicts, and they wouldn't let him do it. And, you know, Adam, you just did a great job of riffing. So you're a great comic.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that from a fellow soldier. But you know those nights when you come in to work on something and you're looking at them and you're like, all right, this ain't going to work.
That's exactly what happened. You, for a couple of minutes, you're like, I want to work on this stuff. And you were sitting on a bar stool on the stand-up New York stage. But then, you know, being the vet that you are, you like realize, okay, you're going to have to entertain these drunks. And, and you just did a great job, as always.
Plan B.
It's the same feeling for me, like, you know when you go to your aunt's house for Thanksgiving, you're like, all right, look, this year's going to be different. We're all going to get along. And then you're there for about 5 minutes, you realize, all right, this ain't going to work.
Start the drinking. We got to get through
Where's
this.
Where's the scotch?
I'm going to drink and watch the football game.
Yeah, the quicker we eat, the quicker I get to pass out on the couch.
Nice. So, Adam, I got some questions for you. Hard-hitting stuff. I know a little bit about you. I knew you were childhood friends with, of course, our very own Joe Curry, who we love here, and Anthony Cumia from Opie and Anthony. So I got to know, what was the pressure like for you and Anthony growing up with such a comedic luminary as Joe Curry in your midst?
Well, it was, we were actually just a pack of idiots.
We were.
Yeah, there really wasn't any, we had no idea, you know, where our lives were going to take us. We just knew at this moment we were happy. And when I say happy, I mean, we had limited goals. We were in a lousy part of Huntington, in this, we used to call it the honeycomb hideout. Remember the shack?
Ants apartment.
The honeycomb hideout. But it's like the landlord's coming, get in the wall.
Anthony told a similar story about the landlord.
It would be. We'd be hiding it. I know you guys are in there. Ain't nobody here but us cockroaches. We ain't got no money neither.
That landlord really made an impact on you guys.
Yeah, he did. He scared the hell out of us.
It always, because I always, remember the bogeyman in Monster the Wooden Soldiers? I never saw the guy. I just heard, landlord. And I'm just going
to get
in the wall.
So you have to go, landlord, duck, hide. And it turned into Aunt Frank's house. Because we were all hiding.
Oh, no, really? We're the first Nazi joke 2 minutes into the show?
I'm just telling you like it was.
Like it was.
But here's the thing. I remember being in the wall and trying to be quiet and realizing I don't live here.
That's what I was going to ask you. Why were you nervous? They couldn't do anything to you.
Because we'd lose our playhouse.
I was caught up in my friend's panic. I was like, we're not going down without a fight.
Yeah. We're not paying you anything.
What, you guys manned the battle stations against the land?
Right, we did.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, you know,
funny.
Everything was a military maneuver. We used to barbecue, and we had no barbecue tools. We were flipping steaks with vice grips. Go get me something out of the toolbox and turn this steak over with.
Anthony used to scold you. I'd be there flipping a steak with a screwdriver. What are you doing? Use this wrench.
What's the proper screwdriver to use for that? Is that a Phillips head or a regular?
You would use a flathead.
Depends on the steak.
Yeah. Depends on the cut.
It's a filet mignon. Use the Phillips, for God's sake. Show some respect. So you grew up with these characters. You know, I know Joe, and Anthony's been on our show, and I just know the New York, New Jersey area, everybody's very sarcastic. Do you think that helped you with your ability to have such quick wit and improvisational skills? Because I've seen you do it. You have great, great improvisational skills. Did that help you?
Of course. I mean, being in that environment, I mean, look, a sense of humor was very coveted in the gang we grew up in because we didn't have anything else. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, we had money for beer, and then there's nothing on TV. We had to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
So it was a coveted thing to have. And when you're hanging around in that such creative environment, and I mean music as well. I mean, those guys were in the band, my job in the band was to work the lights.
Adam Ferrara, roadie.
Adam.
Yeah.
Adam was a good. And I remember one time I was dating this girl, Dawn, and Adam hated her, and she knew it. And every time she went, you don't like me, nope. And she used to drink and fall asleep. She'd collapse and fall drunk on the dance floor. And there she is lying on the dance floor, drunk, just passed out. Adam walks up to me and goes, "She's gorgeous."
And where is Dawn today?
Who knows?
Probably on step 8.
You got Rich. Adam, I've never seen Rich, our sound guy.
He never laughs at anything.
No, you just got him to double over. Well played, sir. Well played. See, this is why you're in here with me.
Having those characters to draw from and having that drive to be creative without even knowing it. I mean, without even knowing that we were kind of hothouse grown and just having this just injected into us. We were just having a good time, and it turned out to be creative environment that we could use. And just the whole thing, we were thinking of each other, like, okay, we can do this. How can we cash in on this?
Yeah.
So.
No, seriously, how can we cash in on this? Seriously.
I think it was Foot. You were at, I'm sorry, it was Joe.
Do
he's too fancy now. The radio guy. you read an article about public access television, I remember once, and we came up with RDTV.
That's right. We had a
which was Red Devil Television, because Red Devils was the name of our paintball team.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where all the money went, by the way. Yeah, all the money went to playing paintball on Sundays. That's where everything went. So it was Red Devil Television. I borrowed a video camera from my Uncle Vito, and it was those old, you know those old video cameras when you see the clips of John Lennon getting shot?
Yeah.
And the shoulders. You know, so we had that, and we would shoot these little things in our grand vision of having a television show.
Yeah, we started with that. Yep.
Anthony did. Anthony was Chef Resin, which was a stoned cook. So he'd be stoned in my house because I had a kitchen. There was no kitchen in the apartment.
It wasn't method acting. He was literally stoned for the television show.
Yes.
He was doing a stone cooking show, and I had a fireplace in my house. So we put Foot in my old in a suit that we had. I think my father made his confirmation in the suit.
Yeah.
It fit Joe.
It's called readings aloud.
Readings aloud, and he would read like AC/DC lyrics and Zeppelin lyrics in this English voice with a fire going.
Yeah.
And he would just say, "Gollum, the evil one, crept up and slipped away with her." And it would be quick little interstitial things, and then. And then we went to the mall, and I would just do interviews with people and just mess with them, and then we got taken into security. We just let the camera run, and footage of us in security getting yelled at.
All you hear is security dragging us into the security thing, and you just hear Anthony go, "How's this going to end?"
Well, you can't be messing with the fine folks at the Chess King. You guys should know better than that. They're just trying to buy some Z Cavaricis. Come on now, fellas.
We blew the lid off that Orange Julius skin. It's Sunny Delight in a blender.
And then what we had, we went to the beach. Adam and I dressed in suits, and it was when there was a big, a lot of medical waste was washing up at the beach. So we go up to like these families, and there was like this big like soccer mom, and we pulled out the, you know, this washed on the beach. We pulled out like a syringe, and then we go, do you know this washed on the beach? We pulled out like a gauze, and then we go, do you know that this actually came up? And then we found something at the adult shop that we pulled out. And she,
oh my God.
What do you think?
Yeah, pull out a severed limb.
Yeah.
Look, they're not all golden, okay?
Yeah, that was fine. No, back to the questions. We've gone off track. Back to the questions. Well, you mentioned your Uncle Vito. I know you're Italian and everything. And what I've always admired about you, Adam, is because a lot of the New York, New Jersey comedians that are Italian, they all have this very tough, strong, tough guy persona. A lot of them do on stage. And I've always found your persona a little bit more vulnerable on stage. Was that a conscious decision, or is that just how you evolved and who you are?
No, I think it comes from a non-childhood of steroid use. I made the choice not to juice, so I figured... I figured I'd like to have arms I can use to wipe myself. I think that would be good.
He's seen the same Italian comics we have.
Who I am, it's just pretty much who I am with the volume turned up. You know, I was never those guys, but I grew up around those guys. And I think my persona really wasn't a conscious choice. It was just who I am. I was more interested in what I was saying and how I was saying it.
Right.
And comedy for me was a way of fitting in and somewhat of a defense mechanism on the school bus, because I grew up with all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you can make them laugh, you're like, all right, I guess they won't eat me.
Well, I mean, you know the guys I'm talking about. They all scream and everything, and I've never found you to be a screamer when I'm watching you perform.
No, yeah, there's definitely a style that is an East Coast,
yes,
Jersey, Long Island, more of a suburb than a city style.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's definitely, there is that kind of indignant, and this is what I think, and how everyone should think this, so if I yell it loud enough, we can start a mob.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. When did you realize you could make a living as a professional comic?
This is just probably the longest phase. I'm still waiting for the bottom to fall out.
I hope not.
You know, every comic has the same thing. As soon as you get some money, buy the house, pay it off, they can't take it from you. You know, everything is just...
Now, we, it is beaten into us to expect something bad to happen as soon as something good happens. It is
visually does. It's part of it is growing up in New York. It's part of it is growing up on the East Coast. There's a definite sarcastic, cynical view of things. And it's nurture, too. It's nature and nurture. I mean, where I grew up, in my house, the glass wasn't half full. It was half empty. There's stuff floating in the water, and it's your fault. You know?
That's funny.
You know, you try to be positive. And I delude myself to go, I'm just being realistic. No, I'm looking for how they can get me, you know? It's like when we look to buy the house, I'm like, I need a place I can put snipers. You know, I schools are good.
Is that for the landlord again?
The snipers. It's definitely a defense. It's a defense defense mechanism.
Right.
Where it started from.
So it's not just me and Joe. All of us are paranoid then. We're all expecting it to end.
Well, yeah. Look at the world we live in, for God.
Rather not.
America might go out of business. Oh, put on a happy face.
Everything must go. But first, a yacht.
We got to hide from China because they're going to be looking for money.
Yeah, China was here. They visited Obama. They were here. Yeah. They were looking around. Look, when they default, we cut off Florida. It screws up the feng shui. I mean, they have to do everything.
This just in, Adam Ferrara knows what feng shui is. Yeah. And is not a fan of dim sum, apparently.
No.
Now, at this point, I mean, you're known as a comic. You've had the three Comedy Central specials. You've been a headlining comic forever. But you've had a ton of acting stuff. What do you, which do you enjoy more at this point, the acting or the stand-up?
I'm fortunate where I get the I've been afforded the opportunity to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to getting – like, I haven't been on tour, I'm going to say, in 2 years.
Wow, lucky bastard.
Yeah, we were doing, well, two and a half, actually. When I started doing, I joined Rescue Me at the end of season three, and we were at season seven. So in the off season, I would go out, and I wrote my third special then, and we shot that. So I was doing both. And then I started doing Top Gear. So I was doing for the last season of Rescue Me, the first season of Top Gear. And then Dennis, Lenny and I did the Rescue Me comedy tour. And that was the only time I was doing stand-up, so it's a time thing.
Did you lose a little bit off your fastball? Because I know if I don't do it for a week, you know, I'm forgetting the jokes I wrote, and you're talking about being off for a long time. Was it odd?
Yeah, I lose. It's like, you know what, I find my head, I'm just a pain in the ass to be around, instead of this charming guest you have on your radio program. But it's like Alex, my girl, tell me, go do stand-up, go get out of here, you know, because you know, Saturday night, you're not working on a Saturday night. You're twitching.
It's weird. Like, it's very weird.
Oh, it's nuts. It's like I walk.
But as far as losing my fastball, I always make it a point to, like, look, I got to get on stage at least once before, you know, before I got to go do, you know, a tour stop. So just to get it back.
So,
but yeah, you're definitely rusty if you're away from it. It's like anything else.
You lose your timing and everything. Yeah.
I forget the jokes that I wrote, which is just an embarrassing thing.
Well, you know what I hate? It's like, I hate when a joke goes away and you're not doing anything different. It's like you'll do something, you get to laugh, and all of a sudden the laugh isn't there.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
And you go back and you listen to your tapes, and you're like, nope, I'm not doing anything different. It's the same thing.
Oh, that's maddening. Yes, it's maddening. You get one of those, there's three nights like that out of the year that you just don't know what happened.
And sometimes they come back and sometimes they don't, but I heard a great, and I forget the actor's name, but there was a... there was a great analogy from the theater, and again, I'm blanking on his name, but it kind of fits the situation. Guy would ask for the tea, and he would get a big laugh on the tea every time he used the line, please pass the tea.
Mm-hmm.
And the director, the joke stopped working, you know, for a week. And he went up to the director, and he said, what am I doing different? He goes, you're not asking for the tea, you're asking for the laugh.
Ah.
So his delivery was in his head, he was expecting to laugh, and it wasn't there. If you just ask for the tea, you'll get the laugh.
So it's like if you act like you're kind of, if you believe, if you're truly surprised every time you get the laugh, it shouldn't go away? Is that what that
message
is?
Well, if you're in the moment while you're delivering things, which is right. which is the coveted place to be,
sure.
then the laughs will be there. But every time we go, okay, this is going to work, I'll get this laugh. You know when you drift away and you set, like, you'll be doing your two jokes ahead going, okay, I can take them into this bit.
Right.
Or
yeah.
the checks are going to fall. Oh, wait a minute, that waitress stood up. I got to cross stage to bring focus away. You know when you're
yeah,
a little
you know.
Director in the back of your head's going.
Right, yes.
I mean, when I'm telling a joke, I'm thinking about everything else but the joke a lot of times. And that's a problem. You're right.
That's why I like improv so much, because you can't think of anything else.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Hey, Adam, who was the first person you called when you found out you got the part of Stan on Love Boat, the next wave?
I called Joe Curry and said, don't make fun of me, I need dental.
And then I called Anthony, and he's like, he's doing what? Get him on speaker.
I had a
How could you throw away that Olive Garden career on this?
I forgot about
Italiano.
They used to kill you on ONA for those commercials. I forgot about that. You know what, Adam? Screw them. Those were damn good commercials, and Olive Garden hasn't had the same breadsticks and salad since you left, my friend.
You know what was funny about that? It's like I didn't want to do it, and part of the reason was, you know, I said it was because, you know, I'm an artist. The other part was I am never going to hear the end of it. I asked my father about it, mm-hmm. and I gave him the whole artist riff. And I go, you know, Pop, they're offering this to me, but I don't know if I want to do this. You know, I'm an artist. You say, you want to be an artist? Go rent a loft and be misunderstood. You need to
eat. Your dad's right, man. You got to eat, you know?
Yeah.
His father, God rest his soul, he straightened Adam out. I remember when Adam was the first time Adam was working in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And we all go down there to go see him. And we go, Mr. Ferraro, what hotel is Adam staying in? He goes, they don't put the help in the hotel.
Oh.
<That's> yeah. <too
funny. laughs> So you had to commute back every night from Long Island is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, they put us in this little condo that they had, which was really nice. You just got to cut the police tape and walk in.
Had the bed that came out of the wall. I remember that.
Yeah. It was a Murphy bed that came out of the wall, and I wasn't heavy enough to keep it down.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which club was this?
It was this Comedy Stop at the Trop.
That's where they put you up?
They put you up at that little condominium next door.
Oh, yeah. Shame on them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, the last person to stay in that room was the diving horse.
They found him with his hooves caught in the bed.
Yeah, well, the diving horse is big.
But it was all those guys came down. Anthony came down. Joe came down. Joe Curry came down. And I said, all right, fellas, we're in. I'm going to feed you, too. And they gave us tickets to eat in the employee cafeteria.
Yeah, that still goes on.
Take whatever you want. And when you walk up, don't make eye contact with the cashier. Just wave. I got to go.
He leaves us there. He leaves us there. And these are tickets. These are hot tickets. We could get thrown out of there. So we're eating like urchins. So the next day he goes, I'm going to take you to breakfast. I got a really good place to go. Brings us to the same place. He runs out again. So we're sitting there, and it's Christmas. And Joe Cumia goes to me, all right, if anybody asks who we are, we're Tony Torres and the Tritones. And if we have to play, Feliz Navidad is an A.
Yeah,
those were the days.
But that was a lot of fun when we first started, because every gig we got was an event. If it was one of my stand-up gigs or if the band was playing, we all went to each other's gigs because it was a big event. I mean, you guys remember drove to Connecticut and we did this four-part harmony thing because we had stage time. I had a gig in Connecticut.
It was the old City Steam.
You guys did. You guys did four-part harmony at City Steam.
Yeah, we were Adam Ferrara and the Foreskins.
Yeah, how'd that work out while the dishes were clanking out behind the stage?
Oh, it was great because we were in the middle. I wasn't even headlining. I was in the middle, and I had backup singers.
Yeah.
And that's how Adam became a headliner. This guy's a big deal.
Yeah.
How come you don't sing harmony when I take you on the road with me, Joe?
If I'll learn you the words to Jean Marie, we'll do it.
All right, fine. Next time we go to Michigan in the middle of January, we're doing that.
Yeah.
So now you were, I mean, you made the transition from headlining comedian and television to movie star. What was the key to that? I mean, because so many of us are stuck in the grind where we're not doing that. How'd that happen for you?
I'd like to say it was a master plan, but a lot of it was just dumb luck. I mean, I started in July 13th, 1988. It was my first time on stage at the East Side Comedy Club.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just, you know, we're pounding the pavement. At that point, when I started, everyone figured comedy was cheap to produce. So every bar had a comedy night. So you could sharpen your teeth. Like, I worked a lot in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. For one of the best booking agents I ever had. He's selling real estate now in Florida. But his name was John Shuler. If there was a bad gig...
Wait, he's in Florida now?
Shuler's in Florida? He's still booking
City
Steam.
Shuler's in Florida.
I had no idea.
Really?
He's booking it out of Florida, I think, because I saw him when I was at the Improv.
Oh, really?
Nice. But Shuler was the best. He was the best guy because he was so honest. He was like, look, I got this gig. It's a Rocky Hill. It's far away. The audience sucks. There's not a lot of money. You want it? Yeah,
yep.
I'll take it.
Yep.
And anyway, like after I worked for him for a while, he goes, "Can you pick up my check too and send it to me?" So I was a bad man, but I was honest because I gave him everything.
You know what, Adam? You haven't been involved in that type of nitty gritty scene for a while. It still goes on like that.
Yes.
I have collected money for agencies where I am sending them three times as much as I'm making.
You know what I got? Me and him were making the same thing.
Really?
You did well. Yes. You did well, Adam. You should be very happy.
And believe me, there was two decimals. It was $75 to close the room, and he gets $75 for booking the room. That was it.
Wow. and we complain about the money now, where it's $200.
Yeah, really.
Of course.
Yeah, but on those gigs, I mean, we would drive. I still had a day job. I was driving to Connecticut, driving back, and then going to work just to get the stage time.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So I started in '88, and then I left in '93 because I got a TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I say I got a TV deal, you know, everything's the money's come rolling in. It took me from being a poor comic in New York to being a poor comic in L.A. You know, that's pretty much all it did with a chip on the board to shoot this pilot.
Right.
And so then once you're in the mix, hopefully you get something that hits. But it didn't turn out to be.
Well, then
I met Leary.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I met Leary. You know, I had done other stuff. I did like six episodes on this UP. Remember UPN?
Sure.
Yeah.
I was the white guy. So I did six episodes on that. It didn't go.
Wasn't that Adam? Wasn't that the show Adam?
No, that was on ABC.
Right.
And that we shot the pilot that never got picked up.
Mm.
But it was a weird thing because I left. I said, the hell with this. And I went to Hawaii for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm in Hawaii, I'm reading USA Today, and they aired the pilot.
Mm.
It actually went on TV, but that's all they had. So it was in the summer. I guess they just burned it off, which I've never heard of anyone doing that.
Really?
I like
the way you go to Hawaii to get away from it all. I have something doesn't go right for me. I go to Bayshore or something like that.
Joe posted his Facebook. I'm going to the beach.
It was my first manager had a house on Kauai, and that's when I realized I am paying way too much in commission.
Yeah, really.
Wow. I just got silent because that really hits home. When you think about what you were doing, going from gig to gig and everything, and that your manager has a house in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, believe me, he had other clients. It wasn't me. I think I paid to cut the lawn.
What, the Olive Garden didn't buy the add-on in that house?
Nah. How much breadstick money you think there is for a guy like me?
I figure there's good money in breadsticks and salad.
Yeah.
So, but you've had a great career. I mean, all kidding aside, you've had the career most comedians dream of. I read off just a few of your credits before the show, and I've always been a fan of yours. I mean, Joe and I have been friends for a long time. I know he's been your friend, and you've been wildly successful. And I always look at you, I say, you know, he's a good-looking guy, he's funny, he's likable. But, you know, you're talking about all these things. How come you don't think you got the break that, say, a Chris Rock or a Jerry Seinfeld did?
Again, it was what happened. It was just the roll of the dice, the people you're with at the time you're at when you get it. Like, I got a TV deal, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't know enough to say no.
Right.
At the time, so I didn't know enough. And, you know, you can always blame it on, oh, well, I had bad management, I had bad this. And, yeah, well, that might be true, but you were still, you know, I was so naive that I just kind of said, well, listen, let me just see what feels right, and you go with your gut, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, you know?
So you think if some of these opportunities came your way now, you'd be able to, like, really knock it out of the park?
I think I'd be more equipped to know what the opportunities are and the best way to cash in on them were.
Right.
And so even if the big TV thing when I was a kid didn't work, other things did work. I got to meet a great friend of mine, one of my best friends is Dennis Leary. I mean, he's just really just given me an opportunity to learn and to grow as an actor, and writing dramatic monologues for me to do, and just to give me that opportunity to throw me the ball and to see how everything works. He's a great leader, Dennis.
Really?
And just to learn, you know, just from being on tour with him and from being in all these TV shows and seeing the way he works, you know, just to observe him. I've learned such a great deal from him.
So this is the last season of the show you do with Dennis, FX's show Rescue Me. You've been on it for a while. Are you sad to see it go?
Yeah, I mean, it was shot in New York. It was an actor's dream because you get to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You get to do stupid fall down funny and drama and you know, dead burned up children. You have to react to that, and action. You get to fly in on a fire truck, and you know, you all shot in New York. So, and to be with your friends and to be in that environment with Peter Tolan and Evan Reilly, it was really a great time.
So that role you've really grown from this particular role.
Yeah, it was very nice. What Dennis does, one of the things I've learned is he'll write a character, and then he'll see what you bring to it. And you know, it's true of any great character and what you can add to the character. And then you both take from your life, and the guy grows. And to be given that opportunity was really great.
I tell you, your acting has been phenomenal on that show. Where I watched that show, and I don't see it as my pal Adam. I see, you know, as Chief Needles. You know, and it's like I was watching one, and I'm like, wow, this guy's real. You know, and I'm like, holy cow, it's, you know, and Dawn, I go, wow, he's doing a great job. Where it transcends, you know.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, if you look real close, Needles has his mole on the left side, and I keep him on the right.
See, that's where the acting comes in. Adam couldn't have done that in the beginning. Now he knows how to move the mole.
Because I said, the mole's on the right. Well, Needles wouldn't keep it there.
Get the pen knife. Say that the mole.
This is why he's in Hollywood, and you and I are, you know, ham and egging it the way we do. He knows how to move a mole.
Definitely, he's got a career where ham and egg.
That's pretty much it. But now the final season is on for Rescue Me on Wednesday nights on FX at 10 o'clock. But right now you're working on your newest project, the History Channel's Top Gear, the American version, which is about cars. Have cars always been a passion of yours?
I always liked cars, and I was always it was a way to get close to my father, because anytime my pop had like some free time, he was in the garage working on the car, and I would help work on the car. And when I say work on the car, my job was to hold the light.
Which, from overhearing everything, you couldn't do that very well.
No, and that was the peak of my ability.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on. Let's be fair to Adam. It was from the training of holding the light for his dad that he was able to work the lights for your bands. It paid off.
Actually, the lighting to work in a car was fancier.
He had to move the light.
He had to move the light.
Yeah. But that's where, you know, my father would explain, you know, what a car does. And that's when I could actually just spend some time with my pop, because he was always working. You know, he was always working because he had three kids and a mortgage, and there was really nobody behind him. There was no trust fund. You know, when he went to get, he told my grandfather, "I'm going to get married." My grandfather goes, "Oh, that's great. Tell us when it is. We'll come." So he was always working, and that's where I got my life lessons. That's where I got to bond with my pop and to learn what kind of man I wanted to be, and I wanted to be the kind of guy he was.
Wow.
And he had that mechanical ability, and it always bothered me that I didn't. You know, I couldn't share that with him. I couldn't come home and say, "Pop, I put a 750 double pumper on it now." He'd really scream. You know, I couldn't share that with him. But when I first did comedy, at Eastside Comedy, he came and he saw the gig, and I went down to his office the next day, and he looked at me with a look I never saw before. And it was like this, holy crap, you know? he said, "This is where you belong."
Oh, that's great.
He goes, "This is where you belong." He goes, "I remember when I went to see some guy play tennis. I knew nothing about tennis, but I knew the way that guy hit the ball. That's what a tennis player looks like. That's how you hit a ball, and this is where you belong." So
that's great.
That was a nice moment that I could just get that reaction from my father.
So this show kind of brings it all together. I mean, because you're I don't want to say the comedic relief, but you're the personality on that show, and this is all about cars and everything. So this is kind of like a melding of your passion and his passion, I would guess, right?
Yeah, well, I bring, like, the everyman's point of view to the show. I mean, Tanner Faust is a race car driver, a stunt driver. He's in the X Games now. Rutledge Wood, who's also very funny on the show, is NASCAR analysis. He works for the Speed Channel. And I'm just a guy that likes cars. And it's pretty much, I was a fan of the UK version. For, you know, for those of you who don't know, Top Gear is from the UK. It's been on for 17 years, I think.
Wow.
And this is the American version of that show. And we just go on all kinds of adventures with cars, and it's three guys just really being jackasses in a car.
Now, the amazing thing is one episode I would love you to do is where, before you ever got Top Gear, when you took an 18-foot flatbed truck and turned it into a water pistol and proceeded to terrorize Huntington, New York with the thing.
What an evil laugh that was.
Yeah.
Now you
got to tell them the story, Foot.
We worked at a fence company, and I was the manager there. And I hear from people, you got to see what Adam's done with the truck. And I'm like, what has he done? He flipped the windshield fluid things around, and he's shooting everybody in town. And I go, I got to nip this in the bud. So I go, we're going on a delivery. All right. So we get in there, and I go, I know what you're doing. And, you know, you got to cut it out. But check it out. So we squirt some lady. And I'm like, this rules. So we're driving around town. There's a woman walking on an overpass of, like, the parkway. Uh-huh. And I'm like, squirt that broad. He jumps the truck on the sidewalk. Almost has it go over the overpass. Squirt. And then, so we get done. And we get back to the shop. And my boss comes downstairs and goes, where's Adam? And I go, he went out on the road. He had to do another. Well, it's the cops on the phone. And I go, well, what's the matter? He go, I see a truck. He sees a water pistol. And I was supposed to stop it. I thought it was fine. I almost got fired. I know.
Here's the part I don't understand about that story. Somebody thought that you, Joe, would be the voice of reason.
Yeah, that's the authority figure.
Really? They're sending you down to crack the whip?
You had to see me at the all these guys would go to the deli in the trucks, and there's like 15 trucks hanging out there. I'm like, everybody's got 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Get out of here.
Yeah. To Joe's credit, he tried so hard.
Well, Joe tries a lot of things.
Oh, but when Adam and I were together, we used to build storage sheds.
Terrible.
We go out and we're building a small 6x8 shed. It takes 2 hours to build this thing. 7 hours at this lady's house.
Oh goodness!
And it looked like the honeycomb hideout.
It was terrible.
We got that. I think anything Adam and I have ever done comedically, that was the best thing we've ever done.
Well, you know, you guys are prop acts.
Yeah.
So I gotta ask you, though, Joe touched on your stunts that you were doing before you were getting paid for it. I mean, you were just misspent youth. The perfect training ground for a show like this. Well, on season one, you had a car try to evade an attack helicopter, which is impressive and pretty cool. But let's be honest, doesn't that really pale in trying to get to the Hamptons from the city on a Friday afternoon in less than 3 hours?
We did that too.
Yeah.
How'd you do that? What, did you squirt people again? Got them out of the way?
No, we actually did. We have an upcoming episode called Dream Cars,
uh-huh.
where we buy. We buy these cars at Liberty State Park in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and then we have to drive them out to the Hamptons and see if we fit in society. So we buy these really fancy dream cars, but we only have a budget of $3,000. So
can't wait to see what that Pinto looks like all jacked up.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So I got to ask you, Matt, you've co-starred mm-hmm. in television shows, you've been in major movies, you're a headlining comedian. Outside of a major drug scandal, what's left for you to accomplish in show business?
I don't know. You know what? As long as I get to keep working and keep, I'm real fortunate just to keep working at my art. You know, I get to do what I like for a living. And yeah, it gets to be a pain in the ass sometimes when I hear myself complaining. But then I think about when me, Foot, and Ant were trying to make a living mm-hmm. digging holes.
Yeah.
You know, I went, hey, you know what? This ain't so bad.
Well, two out of three of you have moved on.
I know. I'm still putting up stockade fence. That's great.
Well, I think the goal is to keep producing and keep making to contribute something I want to say and still have something to say. Mm.
That's a very New York comedy attitude. I mean, that workmanlike effort, like it's so not Hollywood resting on your laurels.
Yeah, it's like you just got to keep. You know, it's like anything else. You're as good as your last show. You're as good as your last at bat. You know. Mm-hmm. So it's like you just got that. I think that's the drive. Mm-hmm. That's the drive in anybody. Well, that's my drive anyway. It's just, yeah, that was good. And it's like, but the downside of that is you can never fully accept or enjoy what you've done
right.
While you're doing it, because you're always like, okay, yeah, it's good, but, you know, there's always a button there. So I think as you get older, you got to learn to take that in and keep the excitement. That's what keeps the excitement going, by taking it in.
But I think that goes back to kind of what we were talking about a little bit before in the beginning of the interview, where we're always expecting something, like, this is really good right now. We're always expecting something bad is going to happen. Don't you think? I mean, kind of.
Yeah, it's not always. I mean, it depends on how you were raised. I mean, it's more prevalent, I think, on the East Coast.
Yes.
you know, I mean, out here, I mean, I'm in Santa Monica. The house now out here in Santa Monica, you know, everything's made of tofu out here. Every, you know, stop and smell the Prius. You know, it's just
I tell you though, the best thing that I have driving my career is actually you and Ant, because anything I've ever accomplished or I've ever gained doing stand up or, you know, acting or music, it's always not good enough. You guys have been the bar for me for God 15-20 years, and I've always, you know, I never thank you guys for that, but that's what drives me.
Wait, I'm not a motivation for you? A headline in the Chuckle Hut Bar and Grill?
No, far from it.
All right, fine. I won't ask you if you want to come along with me for that show then.
When? I'll go.
See, Adam, that's what you're missing. This is what's going on the other side of comedy right now. So Rescue Me's on. It's final season, seventh season, Wednesday night, 10 p.m. on FX. When I know right now you're filming the second season of Top Gear. Do we know when it's supposed to premiere on the History Channel?
It has. It premiered last Sunday. It's on Sunday night at 10 o'clock on History. And we did good. We got about a little over 2 million viewers, so
nice.
Everyone's real happy.
It was a great show. They were dumping manure on each other.
They were dumping manure on each other?
Didn't you have manure dumped on you in the cars?
Yeah, well, we took a challenge. We went to Texas to see if we could replace the pickup with small cars. So we had to do everything in small cars that pickups do. So we had to haul stuff. So I picked a 75 Maverick, and I cut the back of it off and turned it into a pickup, and they loaded it up with about a ton of manure, and I had to deliver it. So, yeah, I'm a big star.
It sounds like what you guys would have done in the island if you guys had more resources.
Yeah, if we had a budget.
Yeah. You guys could have made this show.
We could have.
Yeah.
We could have.
Then we turned them into monster trucks, and then we went to a monster truck racing, and mine caught on fire. So...
didn't you steal your grandfather's Cadillac and take it to Riverhead Raceway?
What?
Didn't you take your grandfather's Cadillac or your Cadillac and take it to Riverhead Raceway one time?
We tried to. We never made it out to Riverhead. We tried to drive it out to Riverhead, and it never made it. It was a 70 Coupe de Ville, which was... my mother burnt out the back seat with a cigarette.
Yeah.
And rather than fixing it, my father figured out, hey, we can get a length of pipe from the trunk through the front seats. And it became the plumbing truck. So I used to deliver pipe and everything. And we put the tools and everything in, and that was the plumbing truck. And that's the car I learned to drive on. And I always hear my father's voice saying, don't slam on the brakes. The toolbox is going to hit you in the back of the head.
That's a lesson to live by right there.
I don't get, you know, 10 o'clock. 2 o'clock signal. No, I get. Don't slam on the brakes. The toolbox is going to hit you in the back of the head.
Who can argue with that?
No, nobody.
Well, Adam, we actually have to go to break. I want to thank you so much for coming on our show. It's been a pleasure. You know, like I said, I wish you the best of luck. You're a super talented guy, and if you're a friend of Joe Curry's, I know you're a super good guy.
That's right. And before we let Adam go, he's going to be, if you are on Long Island or know somebody you're going to plan to be on the island, August 12th and 13th, he will be headlining Governor's Comedy Club. If you'd like to go, you can call him at 516-731-3358 for reservations, and it will be a great weekend.
Definitely go see him. He's one of the best comics out there.
Thank you, folks. Good talk to you. And
Rock,
good to
I love
to you,
you
guys.
Pal. Thanks for calling in, man.
Take care, Adam. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got to go to break.
More storms Friday
Thank
night with lows dropping to 65 to 70, then drying out for Saturday with a mostly sunny sky, highs reach near 90. From the WTVQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Mike Mahalo.
We will be back
with you live in the
And we are back.
Future.
You're listening to Davinson Live
Thank
on WTVQ, 93.5 FM, 1110 AM. You want to call us for the last couple minutes of the show? Number's 845-651-1110. We were just talking to the multi-talented and hysterical Adam Ferrara.
Like
a great interview.
My pal.
Joe's pal.
Us,
learned a lot about comedy. Just a great guy and everything. He's going to be at Governor's in August. So check